The wheels on the Cloward-Piven strategy bus are falling off.
A New Mexico judge resigned last month after Homeland Security arrested his tenant, who was accused of being a member of the Venezuelan transnational criminal gang, Tren de Aragua. According to the criminal complaint, former Doña Ana County Magistrate Judge Joel Cano rented out his casita to Christian Ortega Lopez at the behest of his wife last year. They met Ortega Lopez when his wife hired him to do housework.
This judge's daughter is allowing this illegal alien to have access to firearms. It is a felony for this illegal alien to be in possession of firearms.
Homeland Security officials say Ortega Lopez displayed clear indicators of his association with the Venezuelan gang Tren de Aragua, or TDA. Not just his clothing or tattoos, but voicemails and text messages, they say, provide significant evidence for their case against him.
It's very concerning. It's concerning, you know, what else has this judge been doing?
President Trump designated TDA, as well as other gangs like MS-13, foreign terrorist organizations in an executive order he signed on his first day in office.
We're going to multiply, and we're going to multiply in big numbers.
The MS-13 has a potential presence in just about every community in this country.
Over 6,000 members nationwide. It is one of the largest street gangs in the country with a presence in 46 states and in the District of Columbia.
Democratic lawmakers led by Maryland Senator Chris Van Hollen are gleefully ignoring the will of the voters by traveling to El Salvador to advocate for Kilmar Abrego Garcia, a deported Salvadoran national with documented MS-13 gang affiliation. While DHS reports from 2019 identify Garcia as an MS-13 Checo in the Western's clique. Van Hollen was denied access to Garcia at El Salvador's terrorism confinement center, while House Democrats pushed for a congressional delegation to investigate Garcia's March 2025 deportation, which they called an administrative error. Patty Morin, whose daughter was murdered by an illegal immigrant, condemned Democrats for prioritizing a potential gang member over American victims.
He uses my taxpayer money to fly to El Salvador to advocate for a criminal.
He told me how much he missed his wife and his kids. He specifically mentioned his five-year-old boy who has autism because that boy had been in the car with him when U.S. agents had stopped them and handcuffed him and then taken him away.
To have a senator from Maryland, who didn't even acknowledge or barely acknowledge my daughter and the brutal death that she endured, leaving her five children without a mother and now a grandbaby without a grandmother. Why does that person have more right than I do, or my daughter, or my grandchildren? I don't understand this.
The Democrats have lost the script. These same people flying to El Salvador on the taxpayer's dime to free a citizen of another country with MS-13 gang ties while ignoring devastated, freezing Americans left out in the cold by Hurricane Helene and Biden's Congress in September of 2024, or the due process of January 6th defendants that was largely overlooked by the Democrats and the mainstream media, has Americans asking, are these fools even aware of the wake of pain MS-13 has left in its path in the United States?
This kid has no idea what he's done to me.
Sands admitted luring George Johnson's son Michael into a wooded area, stabbing and hacking him, thinking he was a rival gang member.
The holidays get rougher and rougher when I gotta look at all my other kids that are there when they're there.
And now the walls are closing in on those that arrogantly assume that their will is greater than the will of the people. The FBI just arrested Milwaukee County Circuit Court Judge Hannah Dugan, who allegedly aided in the evasion of arrest of Eduardo Flores Ruiz from ICE custody. According to FBI Director Kash Patel, Dugan allegedly escorted him and his attorney through a non-public jury door to avoid ICE agents waiting.
Methylene blue is all the rage. But for my listeners, we've been talking about it for decades. But finally, they've got factories. They've got laboratories that are producing medical, pharmaceutical, USP grade. And so, our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com, has it right now, the very highest quality. And I've taken USP grade before, and they claim it's USP grade, it works great. Massive energy, clarity, focus, no letdown. This is 10 times better. I'm actually scared of this. Because I've seen Robert F. Kennedy Jr., you know, take three droppers on Air Force One. I took half a dropper, and I'm bouncing off the walls hours later. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the very best methylene blue I've ever had at the lowest price, and it funds the InfoWar, a total 360 win. So get your Ultra, and it is Ultra, methylene blue right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
It's Tuesday, April 29th in the year of our Lord, 2025. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing, get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this morning from the InfoWars headquarters here in Austin, Texas. We got a lot to talk about. Major news events occurring over the last 24 hours, including the election for the Canadian Prime Minister. And it has gone to the Liberals. To absolutely nobody's surprise, Canada has voted for MAID. They have voted to assist the suicide of their own country. And we'll break down what that means here in just a little bit. We also have updates really across the board from the political side of things. We've got a lot of AI news, a lot of videos to show you. So let's just get into it. Here it is, your Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Tuesday, the 29th of April, 2025. Trump wanted to break us, says Carney, as Liberals triumph in Canadian election. Mark Carney used his victory speech to claim Donald Trump wanted to break us as he led Canada's Liberal Party to a fourth term in office in a race that was upended by threats and aggression from the U.S. president. Okay. No, Trump didn't want to break you. We actually wanted to make a deal with you, but now you voted for a Liberal, so Trump has no choice but to break you, and you will be broken. It's a very bizarre reaction to all of this. The Liberal triumph capped a miraculous political resurrection and marked a landmark victory for Carney, the former central banker and political novice who only recently succeeded Justin Trudeau as prime minister. Results early on Tuesday suggested the Liberals fell just short of a majority government and would therefore need the support of political rivals to govern. Mirroring a theme of the campaign, Carney told election night supporters that Trump wanted to break us so that America can own us, adding, "That will never, ever happen," to shouts from the crowd. No, but you are owned by India now. No, you could have had a partnership with America. You've decided to sell your birthright to the subcontinent of Asia, and now you have to live with that. And we'll get into it, but suffice it to say, Mark Carney is like if you could design a globalist in a test tube. He's perfect. He's the perfect globalist. He was a governor of the Bank of England. And in that role, during COVID, he was one of the, you know, foremost proponents of the lockdown protocols that, of course, had devastating impacts on the economy and people's health while doing absolutely nothing to stop or even slow the virus. I believe he has a trans child as well. And he's just the worst. He really is just the absolute tip of the pinnacle of globalist elite. And it's something else. We'll return to Mark Carney, give you the full breakdown of this scumbag. But well done, Canada. And look, it was a foregone conclusion. If you've been watching our coverage of Canada, especially the coverage we've given of PPC, you know that there's not a huge difference between the conservatives and the liberals in Canada, and yeah, this is all to be expected. We'll get into it a little bit later. We'll get into it. Meanwhile, power is restored in Spain and Portugal after widespread outage. Many of the traffic lights turning from red to green again. The trains in Madrid's subway system were rolling on all but one line, and baristas and cafes at the Spanish capital were serving cafe con leche to the few clients out on the quiet streets Tuesday morning. By that time, electricity had returned to almost all of Spain and Portugal nearly 18 hours after both countries were hit by extensive blackouts. The return of power left many relieved, though questions about what happened would grow were growing sharper. And there's basically still no cause of this blackout, which is very suspicious. We can ask questions about this, and they say in the New York Times, the cause of the blackout, which stranded tens of millions of people on the Iberian Peninsula, remained unknown early Tuesday. So we'll revisit that. Some people blaming it on a sunspot. Others blaming it on international terrorism. Others blaming it on the drive towards net zero. Regardless, I think it's clear it's the leftist's fault. I think no matter which direction you go, it's pretty obvious that the basic failure to uphold meritocracy and therefore be able to manage the extremely sophisticated infrastructure systems that our world relies on, we're going to see this a lot more often into the future. Speaking of, meanwhile, USS Harry S. Truman Navy loses $60 million Super Hornet jet at sea after it fell overboard from an aircraft carrier. A U.S. Navy FA-18 Super Hornet fighter jet has been lost at sea after it fell overboard from the USS Harry Truman aircraft carrier while it was being towed on board, the Navy said in a statement on Monday. The U.S. official said initial reports from the scene indicated the Truman made a hard turn to evade Houthi fire, which contributed to the fighter jet falling overboard. Yemen's Houthi rebels claimed on Monday to have launched a drone and missile attack on the aircraft carrier, which is in the Red Sea as part of the U.S. military's major operations against the Iran-backed group. All personnel aboard are accounted for, and one sailor sustained a minor injury, the Navy said. The FA-18E was actually under tow in the hangar bay when the MOVE crew lost control of the aircraft. The aircraft and tow tractor were lost overboard, the statement said. Sailors towing the aircraft took immediate action to move clear of the aircraft before it fell overboard. An investigation is underway. This fighter jet cost more than $60 million. Again, the concerning part to me is that we're only hearing about this story because the jet fell off the aircraft carrier, and you have to wonder how many other times American military vessels have come under attack by the Houthis, and it just hasn't been reported, and whether there have been deaths by this. And again, you can look back at our call from last week with Lebanon John. He talked about this exact phenomenon, the fact that there are American soldiers carrying out operations in the Middle East that are being hurt, injured, or killed in conflicts that are going totally unreported and getting less attention than, you know, other operations in places like Gaza that get wall-to-wall coverage, whereas American soldiers dying is treated as something that's not even newsworthy. Pretty insane development. Meanwhile, Trump administration revokes 4,000 visas for students with criminal records for assault and robbery, breaking the law with no consequences. The Trump administration has revoked the visas of 4,000 foreign students in the first 100 days, the bulk of which have committed crimes in the U.S., including arson, assault, and robbery, the Post has learned. More than 90% of the rogue students who saw their visas nixed had committed crimes such as arson, wildlife and human trafficking, child endangerment, domestic abuse, DUI, and robbery, a senior State Department source told the Post Monday. More than 500 of them had assault raps. They came and they were breaking the law with no consequences, said the source. We set up a special action team to handle this. The State Department worked with the Department of Homeland Security, which tapped into their databases and compared that information to existing law enforcement records. Officials only considered serious cases as part of the effort. Again, we can look into this. It's fine. It's just for me, the priority should probably be the people with no visas, the tens of millions of them that crossed over the border or were flown over the border and were given rides, flights, buses, trains to places like Philadelphia, New York, the people with no visas whatsoever. To me, student visas are very, very far down the list of people we need to expel. Although, to be honest, I don't know why we have as many student visas as we do. And we've talked a lot about the just absolute suicidal stupidity of granting a quarter million or more, 300,000 high-paying, high-level engineering positions in our universities to our geopolitical rival, China. It's just absolutely insane. It's completely insane. Finally, we have this. Enforcing common sense rules of the road for America's truck drivers. This is an announcement from the White House of an executive order proposing that America's truck drivers should probably be able to do things like speak and read English and be able to drive trucks, which I think is a good idea. I think if you have somebody piloting an 80,000 pound truck at 90 miles an hour down the highway, they should probably be able to read the street signs or communicate on the radio with their fellow truckers. Seems like that's a good idea. And we can get into it. I don't think, as far as I know, nobody's really done the full scale investigation as to the consequences of giving trucker licenses to newly arrived immigrants who have never driven a car before. And I wouldn't be surprised if the number of deaths caused by this was in the hundreds. And we've seen a lot of examples in the very recent past of the absolute catastrophe that can occur when you have these people driving these trucks, especially in places like Canada or up north during the winter. No experience driving on ice, let alone driving a semi truck on ice, which is a whole different ball game. And you see video after video of these truck drivers just jackknifing across the road or slamming into smaller cars. And it's incredibly dangerous. It's also, of course, very deliberate, as truck driving is one of the last remaining very widespread, unionized, high-paying manual labor jobs in America that is mostly filled by white people, or Canada as well. And of course, during COVID, it was truck drivers that led the major protest against the ridiculous restrictions being imposed on everybody. And so, of course, this industry has been targeted for total destruction and population replacement. So not exactly a surprise that following 2021 and the trucker protest, that suddenly you see hundreds of thousands of truck driver licenses being given to people who arrived yesterday from India. Not because they are better drivers. They're actually much, 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 much worse drivers, but they're not white. So progress. So we're making progress, aren't we? That's your Daily Dispatch, of course, brought to you by thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com is where you go to support us and keep us going no matter what happens into the future. We got a lot of videos to show you, and I guess I have to. I guess I have to show them to you. We'll begin with clip number two. This went totally viral yesterday. It's a congressman who probably would have been better served not making this video, keeping his head down. See, prior to this, not a lot of people knew who this guy was. Now that he put up this video out, people not only know who he is, they are growing to hate him and everything he represents. And it probably would have been better just to keep his head down, especially since he doesn't seem to understand anything about what he's talking about. He genuinely does not seem to fully comprehend what it is he's even saying. He's talking about impeaching Donald Trump, and he seems totally ignorant of the fact that impeachment requires high crimes and misdemeanors, not just doing things that, what's his name? Thanedar. I could come up with a different name. Let's watch, shall we? Let's watch this Indian-born congressman try to speak English, shall we?
This is Congressman Sri Thanedar. Donald Trump has already done real damage to our democracy. But defying a unanimous 9-0 Supreme Court ruling, That has to be the final straw. It's time we impeach Donald J. Trump. The court said the wrongfully deported Kilmer Garcia must be allowed to return and receive due process.
Oh.
Trump ignored it. He ignored the Constitution. He ignored the very checks and balances that keep our democracy intact. This isn't an isolated incident. It's part of a dangerous, deliberate pattern. That's why today I introduced a resolution to impeach Donald J. Trump, outlining 7 articles of impeachment. Article 1, obstruction of justice and abuse of executive power, from denying due process to unlawful deportations, Trump defied court orders.
Oh, no.
Article 2, taking away Congress's power of the purse, Trump dismantled agencies and froze funds without permission Congress.
How dare he?
Article 3, abuse of trade powers and international aggression. He imposed damaging tariffs and threatened military invasions of our allies. Article 4, violation of First Amendment rights. He has retaliated against journalists, attorneys, and critics for exercising their right to free speech. Article 5, creation of an unlawful office establishing the so-called Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, and giving Elon Musk unconstitutional power over our government and personal data. Article 6, bribery and corruption. He has dismissed criminal cases and solicited payments from foreign governments and coerced legal settlements for personal and political gain. Article 7, tyrannical overreach. Finally, and most importantly, he is attempting to consolidate unchecked power and erode the constitutional limits of the presidency. In this country, we have presidents, not kings. That's not just misconduct. It's impeachable misconduct. This isn't leadership. It's tyranny. If we let this stand, we are saying the president is above the law, that the United States Constitution is optional. I won't be silent, and I'm calling on all my colleagues, Democrats, Republicans, and independents, to stand up with me. Enough is enough. Donald J. Trump must be impeached.
Wow, great point, Shri. You would think with, 7 articles, that even just one of them would be vaguely accurate or appropriate or just real in some way. But no, none of those were crimes. None of them were even misdemeanors. He literally just doesn't like Donald Trump's politics. Here's something you need to understand if you're going to pretend to be an American. We have rules and laws that the other side gets to do things sometimes, and those aren't crimes against you. They're just policies that you don't agree with, and that's okay. That's okay. Then you have to win the election next time, and then your policies can go into power. I would think a congressman would know this. I would think somebody elected to represent Americans would understand that you can't impeach people because you don't like their policy procedures. This is very stupid. This is all very stupid. I mean, genuinely, does he not understand what an impeachment is supposed to be? I guess not. I mean, I guess the Democrats don't. I mean, they tried to impeach Trump over a phone call with Zelensky and then over January 6th. So I guess you can just impeach anybody over anything these days. But yeah, a lot of people had the same reaction I do to that, which is, how is this not a Saturday Night Live skit? How is this not AI? How is this I just, little weirdo with his Beatles haircut, smiling like a frog at us. How is this serious? How is this a real thing? Some comments under this video after it was posted on X from Space Weather News. I tried to pronounce your name and all the furniture in my living room started floating. Captive Dreamer. I don't feel represented as an American by a guy who speaks with a thick accent like this. Although, is that even Captive Dreamer? Siegfried Mule, whatever. I can't even pronounce that one. Needs to be deported. If you think I'm redeeming Target gift cards after this, think again. I swear I thought this was Jimmy Fallon in blackface for a minute. You should be deported. Like this comment, if you think you should be deported, has 27,000 likes. How's that compared to the, he's got more likes than the actual video. So the comment saying this guy should be deported has more likes than the video itself. Chrissy Meyer, Marr, stop calling me about my car warranty. Joey Salads, why is the guy from my 7-Eleven filing an impeachment against Trump? Carl Hollywood, you're going to go back whether you like it or not. Americans do not want you here. You can do it the easy way or the hard way. Shree. James Kirkpatrick, get these foreigners out of here. Trump, sounds like a scam call. Hey, Pakistan, send your first nuke to this jerk. I was under the assumption that there was only one trans member of Congress. Weren't you a socialist until 5 minutes ago? Yeah, he was a part of the Democratic Socialists of America. I thought this was a spoof. This dude is actually a congressman. Steve Ferguson, people born in other countries shouldn't be allowed to serve in Congress. This should be the same as the presidency. And yeah, I agree. I mean, look at this guy. Just look at him. Give him a good, hard look. Look at the size of that head. I won't stand for it. Look at his black NPC eyes. Why do we have foreigners in our Congress? That might sound like a rhetorical question. I actually have an answer. It's because the Obama administration and the Biden administration imported tens of thousands of foreigners, dropped them in small areas and in effect gave them a congressional seat. It's the exact same thing that happened with Ilhan Omar. You put 50,000 Somalis in a congressional district. They vote for a Somali to represent Somali interest, the balkanization of America by proxy. And this is very deliberate and on purpose, and it's not exactly a surprise. You get a bunch of Somalis, they elect a Somali. Her primary concern is to benefit her Somali community and Somalia itself. And that's what she does. Why is she allowed to have a say in our government? Why is this guy allowed to have a say in our government? Why are there foreigners and dual citizens in our government? Can we make a rule? I would like to, you know, if the Congress that we currently control, the Senate that we currently control, feels like doing absolutely anything this round, this year, this decade, they really feel like it. How about no dual citizens in Congress, no foreign-born in Congress, no intelligence agents in Congress, and no trans people in Congress, no people with a debilitating mental illness, that is, in Congress? What if we only had a Congress? What if our country was ruled by Americans that were born here and actually love America and our people? What if that was the people that ruled us? Maybe we wouldn't be falling apart as a nation. Just an idea. So good luck, sir.
I don't hype things. If I tell you something is amazing, it's because it is. I've taken methylene blue off and on for 6 years since my medical doctor told me to get USP. That means pharmaceutical grade. You can get it, you know, online. And then I noticed that I got some effect. It's good for your mitochondria, energy, with no letdown, because it's not a stimulant. It just gets the electrical operations in your cells working better, similar to iodine, but in a different way and stronger. And then when I got this medical grade, I noticed it was way thicker and way stronger. And so we got a bunch of other brands ordered last week, and what I thought was true, and listeners already figured this out themselves, I noticed a bunch of testimonials on X, where they got these other brands, and they're not deep, dark, navy blue and thick. It's just a bright blue. Some of them is like a baby blue on paper. And that's exactly what I thought. They're saying it's USP. A lot of it isn't USP. And it's watered down. So I'm not just saying this because, oh, we've got the best, so you should get it from us. I told the guys, go out and find the best. And they went and did their research, and I kind of got pissed because it took them, I was telling them 6 months ago to get methylene blue. But turned out they got the place that makes a bunch of the pharmaceutical grade because they also use it in surgeries. So that's why theirs has got to be absolutely the best. It gets tested a bunch. It's very strong. Most people get blown away. Everybody feels the energy. The workouts are so good. It's amazing. And a lot of bodybuilders I've now learned mix it with vitamin C powder and things. So get your Ultra, that's the brand name, private label, one of the top firms in the country, Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com. And I asked listeners that aren't into Methylene Blue, try it out, test it against yours. They're like, yeah, mine says USP too. It's not as dark, not as thick. When it comes out, you're raw in the bottle. And wow, this is way strong. So we really hit a big one on this. Just like our Irish sea moss is rated the strongest, our Shilajit is rated the best, the turmeric's the highest quality, the strongest. I mean, that's what we go for. And then when we find a better supplier, we move, and then we call it Plus, because under the regulations and things, you reformulate, you have to change the name. You just say Plus, Plus, Plus. So most of our products have a Plus on it, because over the years, we just upgrade. Because see, I want to bring you the best, because I take this, and I treat you like I want to be treated. I was born like this. I'm an old line Texan. It's all about hospitality. We're real nice till you mess with us, and then we're real mean. And I love you guys. You've kept me in the fight. This is our fight together. Thank you for all you've done. If you're a listener that's never gone to thealexjonesstore.com and checked out the widest selection of Patriot apparel, got the incredible game-changing supplements, and more, what are you waiting for? Become a VIP for $30 a month. Cancel anytime. Get $40 for the store each month. Special deals, special offers. Everybody that's going to support us to get great products should be a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com. Also, it sells out sometimes. Any product you want to have, subscribe to it. Get bigger discounts. It never sells out.
Yo, I just got the Ultra Methylene Blue from thealexjonesstore.com. Got two bottles here. I'm going to try it out. Shake it up a little bit. Just got back from work and I'm feeling tired, but I'm going to try it out. See what happens.
Old-fashioned artillery. Genius.
I'm going to do 15 drops. It says 20 drops, but I'm going to do 15. So I took my methylene blue, and I feel good. My skin feels warm. It feels like my blood's flowing better, or something's happening anyway. Something's definitely happening to me, and it feels good.
God almighty.
Listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video. Yeah.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We got a lot to talk about. Still, we'll leave aside Shree for the second. Filing articles of impeachment about Trump's very normal and legal activities as executive in chief. It's just very silly. We got a lot of health news today as well. But let's talk about Canada, shall we? Let's talk about Canada. You know, I think there's a few numbers that we could point to really give us a good view of like where Canada's going, what its future might look like. Let's see, Here's just a, let me line these up. You got things like just, all right. Canada's going down the path of destruction, and they've just voted, as of yesterday, to accelerate that trajectory to the maximum degree. And the person they've chosen to helm the country is the prototype of the globalist. I mean, you talk about Klaus Schwab penetrating the cabinets, and Canada, of course, is where that was really most obvious, which had like, what's her name? Who's the Friedland, whatever her name is? It was Chrystia Friedland, who led the crackdown on the truckers, and she was like the understudy of Klaus Schwab at the World Economic Forum. Canada is very much a globalist playground right now, and Mark Carney is, again, the perfect ringleader of this circus. He's a former Bank of England governor, which you want to talk about, you know, the forces destroying the world. It is the big banking combines, which Bank of England and the Fed hold a almost equally elevated position. In that position, he used his power during COVID to be on the forefront of the COVID lockdowns and to be one of the main voices calling for the mitigating policies to stop the virus that did absolutely nothing to stop the virus and instead impoverished billions, caused millions to starve, and destroyed social cohesion for the entire world. He was very much on the forefront of that. This is sort of his reward for that, his reward for his service to the globalist schemes. He, of course, is a diehard globalist climate change adherent. Tells everybody we need to get down to net zero. And apparently has a transgender child, although I don't know if that's true or not. I do see that rumor going around, but it doesn't seem like the media is making a big deal out of that. I wonder why. But just to get an idea of like where Canada is overall, you can take a look at a couple headlines like this from BBC. Assisted dying now accounts for 1 in 20 Canada deaths. That was from December of last year. It now ranks amongst the top causes of death overall in Canada, being killed by the state. And people are being killed for all sorts of reasons. Sometimes they're just old. Sometimes they have a, you know, legitimately crippling disease that they really can't live with. But sometimes they're just kind of sad. And sometimes they're just poor. Sometimes if you're just too poor, the doctors might suggest that killing you be a solution to the problem. There have been story after story of people in Canada, things like being injured by vaccines, getting the COVID vaccine, being paralyzed from it, going to the hospital, and the hospital saying, well, we could kill you. We could put you out of your misery. I mean, you did what we told you, and it left you crippled, so now we're going to kill you. That's sort of the heartless mentality of the elite there. But that's just one. You've got this as well. The equivalent of what the Canadian Liberal Party did for the past 4 years would be Biden granting legal citizenship to 40 million migrants and then calling a U.S. election. Canada had a population of 36 million in 2021. And you can see that following the 2020 lockdown COVID scheme, the this is a chart of Canada's net international migration. You can see typically it hovered around the 200,000 mark until 2020, when suddenly it skyrocketed from 200,000 to 1,200,000 in the course of about 5 years. I mean, what? How? That's insane. That is completely insane. Look at that chart. I've never seen anything like it. It really is unimaginable how thoroughly they are swamping the population of Canada. I mean, this is year over year. So, you know, in 2020, they've got 200,000. But in 2021, it's all the way up to at least 500,000. By 2022, it's closer to 1 million. By 2024, it's over 1 million, 1.2. So if you got a population of $36 million, but you're adding $1 million a year for 5 years. I mean, they have destroyed Canada. They basically destroyed Canada and then allowed them all to vote. And so now you have the party of destroying Canada in office. According to Nick Fuentes, 45% of Canada's population are immigrants, children of immigrants, or non-permanent residents, and yet both major political parties still support more immigration. Canada is finished. 45% of the population of Canada are immigrants or, you know, first-generation Canadians. Which is just wild. It really is just almost unimaginable. So again, it sort of rings hollow to me personally when you've got Mark Carney being like, Trump wanted to break us. It's like, who is us? Half of you weren't even there 5 years ago. So who is this Canada that Trump is trying to break? Because if it's the people who settled and founded and built and created Canada, they've already been destroyed by you people. They've already been taken out of contention by the enormous increase in migrants, almost exclusively from India and Asia and China as well. What could Trump do that would be worse than what you're doing to Canada? That's my real question. What is Trump going to do? Is Trump going to kill 1 in 20 of your citizens? Because that's what your government is doing. That's what your government did last year. Out of every 20 people that died, at least one of them was murdered in a hospital by a doctor when they otherwise would have continued to live for God knows how long. What is Trump going to do to Canada that's worse than Canada than what Canada is doing to itself? I mean, is Trump going to, what, send 15 million foreigners into your country? That's what you people did. Is his economic policy going to make houses unaffordable for the average Canadian? Because, hey, guess what? That's what you did with the Chinese already. I genuinely want to know, what could Trump possibly do that would be worse for Canada than what they're already doing? Is he going to burn down 100 churches in Canada? Because that's what the left paid for by spending $100 million to investigate mass graves that literally never existed and were completely fabricated and yet inspired massive riots, tearing down statues and burning hundreds of churches across your country. Is there anything Trump could do to match that level of destruction, just wanton destruction, societal upheaval? Is there anything Trump could do to Canada that's worse than what they're doing to themselves? That's my question. Is he going to cut off your energy? Because I hate to break it to you, that is your policy. That is what you are championing constantly. Here's Mark Carney a few years ago, 2021, clip 17. I guess this was back when he was in between jobs, going from the governor of the Bank of England to prime minister. In between, he did his part to progress the climate change scam that's destroying everything. Here he is.
Skepticism about ESG labels or sustainable labels, and it again is one of the reasons we're having this ruthless, relentless focus on net zero, because in the end, look, we can't stabilize the climate unless we get to net zero, and it's a simple, these are hard numbers. Your emissions right. are either A or B, they're going up or down, and if they're going down, are they going down consistent with the science? We anchor it in the science, the same science the UN and others use for the 1.5 degree objectives.
Yeah, we gotta trust the science. We gotta get that net zero. We gotta achieve net zero. We gotta get carbon emissions down to zero. Of course, that's impossible. So they're just gonna use that endlessly to crush Canadians' endeavors, just stop them from having the energy they need to succeed as they continue to swamp the country with infinite foreigners forever until it's not Canada anymore. Again, so I genuinely want to know. Trump wanted to break us. And it's just like, who is this us? Half of your population is not Canadian. What more damaging thing could Trump do to the population of Canada than replace half of it? Honestly. At this point, Trump genuinely going to war with Canada and setting nukes off in your major cities would probably be less damaging of a policy. It's like a meme, but it's also kind of true. You look at things like Hiroshima and Nagasaki that were able to be rebuilt after just a few years, pretty much back to full function within a couple decades. And you look at places like, Detroit, Vancouver, Ottawa, or any other major city that has embraced diversity and inclusion and mass migration. So it's actually a hell of a lot more difficult to overcome the long-term damage that migration causes than something like a nuclear war. So I don't know. I don't know, man. It's really hard to, understand what exactly they are fighting for, what they're trying to protect, what they're standing up to Trump to prove, like what is what? And you have to realize, when you have a guy like Mark Carney, serving as the governor of the Bank of England, when he said, you know, it's like that video that Elon Musk posted where you replace our democracy with our bureaucracy. When Mark Carney is talking about Trump wanted to break us, you think he's talking about Canada, but he's not. He's not. That's not the us. He doesn't consider himself a patriotic Canadian. I know it's kind of weird that the person leading the country of Canada doesn't care about Canada. But when he says us, he means the New World Order. He means the international elite and their system of control. When he says us, that's the us he's referring to. Okay? Mark Carney used his victory speech to claim Donald Trump wanted to break us as he led Canada's Liberal Party to a fourth term in office in a race that was upended by threats and aggression from the U.S. president. And sadly, you know, Pierre Poilievre would have probably done better if he'd actually, like, talked positively about Trump and sort of embraced the MAGA regime, talked about wanting to work with Trump and how effective that could have been. But I don't know, maybe I've just indulged in enough PPC propaganda that I don't really care. I don't really care whether Pierre Poilievre or Mark Carney took the reins because they basically believe the same stuff. Maybe one believes it in a slightly higher level than the other, but at the end of the day, their vision of Canada is more or less the same, which is a vision of a deracinated, a dispossessed, multicultural society. There was another video of Mark Carney, and there's a similarity I see. Clip number five. I think this was during the election yesterday. The newly elected leader of Canada is trying to dance. And there's something I see here very similar to anytime you have one of these world leaders, like, I'm sure the crew can find the video of Keir Starmer trying to punch. You remember that one? Or Anthony Fauci trying to throw a baseball. I think there might be something very psychologically important with this fact that the people essentially running the world are like utterly disconnected from their own bodies. Do you understand what I mean? Like they're the most awkward, unathletic, unfit. Like, look at that throw. And I get thinking like, well, he's a doctor. You don't need to be able to throw a baseball to give somebody a shot. And there's Keir Starmer throwing his punches. Okay. Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know what it is. I can't exactly articulate what this phenomenon is, but the technocratic nerds that are leading our world are just like brains in jars. They don't feel human. Okay, now let's go to Mark Carney, clip number five. Here's him trying to dance. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's the most awkward, like, what is he doing?
like I'm supposed to put my arms in the air, I think. Now he's jumping. He's like wearing a hood. It's just, he's flailing. I mean, looks like, he's like a Zuckerberg. Zuckerberg's another one, right? There's something about these guys. I've never subscribed to the reptilian idea, but does it not seem like these are disembodied minds put into a body they're not exactly familiar with and are trying to work out? Like Men in Black, the roach alien goes into the human body and he's like trying to figure out and he's all like twitchy. It's kind of like that. It's like they're all 60 years old and none of them have figured out how to throw or punch or dance or throw a ball or anything. There's something to this. I don't know what it is, but there's something metaphysical occurring here. Where the leaders of the New World Order, the leaders of the global government, to a person, are unathletic, uncoordinated nerds who have never thrown a punch, never thrown a ball, never let loose and actually danced out of genuine joy, right? Everything is like fake and they're trying desperately to look like normal humans and it just totally backfires the completely opposite direction. Bring up the punch again. Bring up Keir Starmer throwing the punch again. This is the most hilarious to me. I think Obama had this. Didn't Obama have a first pitch? That was just terrible. Again, I don't know what it is. I don't know what point I'm even making here, but I think the audience gets it. I hope the audience gets it. Like, you can't trust governorship to people that are disconnected from their own bodies, let alone the world around them, the physical world and their participation in it. What is this? What are these punches? Yeah, make sure to bend your wrists more when you throw the punch, Keir. Look at that. What are we doing here? Oh, Bernie. Oh, Miss Totally. I've never even seen that one. Bernie Sanders gets beaten in a fight by a bag. This is Bernie Sanders being knocked out in the first round by a stationary immobile bag. He misses it, and that's actually the best punch he throws because when he hits it, it smacks him in the face. That's amazing. So, I mean, I don't know. What if we chose our leaders from like a gladiatorial combat? Here's the thing. You know, it just sort of goes along with what I've talked about before, this idea that like in the past, even up until just in the last couple hundred years, Europe in particular was a warrior culture, right? The way you gained power was by fighting people on the battlefield with swords and pointed sticks, or later on with muskets. George Washington, warrior king. Julius Caesar, warrior king. Napoleon Bonaparte, warrior king. Every king was a warrior king. We were a warrior culture. The upper caste were the warriors. And it actually worked out because, especially in medieval Europe, the peasants, they didn't have the wealth and the comfort of the elites, but they also didn't have to put their bodies on the line when an invasion happened. They didn't have to go campaign in France for several months and risk being split apart by a sword. So it was sort of like, okay, yeah, you get all this nice stuff and we pay loyalty to you and we, you know, do what you say. But in exchange, it's your ass on the line fighting the fight when it comes right down to it. And especially in places like Rome, where you had the cursus honorum, which was the course of honor that you had to take. In other words, you couldn't become, you know, Pontifex Maximus, if you didn't, you know, fulfill every office before that. And of course, it always started with joining the army. And so you know, imagine if Congress today, if every single person sitting debating laws and what was best for the world, every single one of them had literally been in a life or death knife fight many times before. Every one of them had scars from, you know, battling outsiders. How different is their mindset? How different is their view of the world? Just remember, I mean, war wasn't like it is now. You didn't have people sitting in shopping centers piloting Reaper drones half the world away. It was there, up close, impersonal, grappling hand to hand, elephants stomping on your friends, driving spears into sides of horses. Like, it was brutal and manly, like beyond belief. And if you survived, you were changed by it. You had a different viewpoint of the world, a much more real one. And then when you considered the consequences of your actions, it wasn't some theoretical battle. It was something that you had experienced, you know, being covered in your enemy's blood or watching your life flash before your eyes when the spear hits your shield. I mean, that's the degeneration of the world, if you really want to put it in context. That up until the 1800s, and like the Civil War, we were a warrior culture. And the people that we put in charge of us were the people that we literally put at the front of the battle lines charging against the enemies. Now we've got these weak, effeminate, girly nerds who can't throw a punch or a baseball and are so disconnected from their own bodies they can't even like dance in a normal fashion. Like, do you think Mark Carney has ever genuinely like busted a move out of just, you know, he's feeling the music, he's jiving with it, he's got the energy flowing through him, so he just starts moving? No, this dude is a plank of wood trying desperately to writhe around in a way that makes him seem human. It's just, again, this might not be the most incisive political commentary, but I think it is actually more important and more foundational than anything I could say about tariffs or trade or immigration. Just like, no, we're run by non-humans. We're run by brains in jars, totally disconnected from physical reality.
It's been a major news story for months that in the last 8.5 months, I've lost 63 pounds and gained muscle. And people ask, how have I done it? Intermittent fasting, better diet, and taking the right supplements. That's how I've done it. And I got to tell you, out of all the great supplements I take from the AlexJonesStore.com, these three right here are the trifecta. The Ultra Methylene Blue, the highest quality USP pharmaceutical grade that cleans out your mitochondria, gives you incredible energy. The workouts are insane. It's amazing. But I've only been on that about 3 weeks, and that just supercharged me next level. What I've been on for 6 months is the Ultimate Irish Sea Moss. Irish Sea Moss is a known, incredible superfood. This is the strongest concentrate out there, and the gummies are finally back in stock. A 1 month supply, 2 gummies a day. Incredible. And then the Shilajit. We have the best Shilajit. If you don't know about Shilajit, look into it. We've got the best. So, Ultimate Sea Moss has Irish Sea Moss concentrate extract, burdock root extract, bladder rack extract, spinach powder, natural pectin, and more. Ladies and gentlemen, it is an amazing product. Then, Shilajit Complex. Shilajit extract concentrate, black cumin extract, burdock root extract, Irish Sea Moss, also great, ashwagandha extract, and so much more. The list goes on and on. These are all incredible superfoods, super nutrients in the body, and synergistically together, they are incredible. So get your Ultramethylene Blue, Shilajit Complex, Ultimate Irish Sea Moss, and more right now at the AlexJonesStore.com.
Thank you.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour has begun. We'll open up the phone lines for your calls today, but I want to go now to an extended clip from Tucker Carlson's interview show he had on the great Catherine Austin Fitz. Here she is talking about her belief about where the trillions of dollars has gone missing from the Pentagon has gone, deep underground military bases. Let's watch.
But I think that there, whether it's a pole shift, magnetic pole shift is one of the, you know, theories of what causes these events. But there is a history of near extinction events. And one of the things that I've looked at, because I'm trying to figure out, you know, when between fiscal 1998 and fiscal 2015, there were 21 trillion of undocumentable adjustments in the U.S. government. If you go to our website, missingmoney.salier.com, we have years and years of documentation, including the government financials that show this. And so the question is, where's all this money going? And one of the things I've looked at in the process of looking at where all this money is going is the underground base and city infrastructure and transportation system that's been built.
And I'm sorry?
Yes. So we have built an extraordinary number of underground bases and supposedly transportation systems. Some of these are documented as part of the national security infrastructure. I think there are many more. So,
in the United States?
In the United States, on all over the world. But, from 2021 to 2023, I took one of the smartest subscribers in the Salier Report network. And he and I spent 2 years collecting all the data and all the allegations on underground bases. And then we systematically went through and tried to estimate our guess. This is totally a guess of how many underground bases, both underground in the United States, but also underground under the ocean around the United States. And our estimate was 170. With a transportation network connecting them.
And what would be the purpose?
The purpose, if you thought you were going to get a near extinction event, to me, there are two purposes. You have so many activities going on that you need to keep secret that you're basically building the capacity to, for example, if you're doing a secret space program, you need to platform it from, you know, things that can't be seen. But I think if you're worried about a near extinction event, you know,
So I know nothing about this other than my only window into it. I knew a contractor who worked on one in Washington, in the city of Washington, D.C.
Right.
And I remember him telling me about a power box, like a transformer box on Constitution Avenue that he told me, because he worked on it personally, was actually the exit, the egress from White House. That was kind of by vehicle. I thought that was... And I was like, really? He goes, oh yeah, no, I installed it. I know. And I thought, well, that's kind of crazy that in the middle of this right. big city where I live, I was on Constitution Avenue every day, that you could build something like that without me knowing it under the VP's house at the
right.
Naval Observatory. Same thing. I think most people know that next to my brother's house on Macomb Street in DC. I always thought that was like, preparation for nuclear war, like, I didn't really think about it that much.
Some of it is, yeah. It's preparation for catastrophe.
So, but you think that there are facilities like that in other places outside D.C.?
Oh, yeah. So, if you're interested, we have a great interview. I did an interview of Richard Dolan on underground bases on the Salieri Report, and it's sort of an introduction to the topic, and it's based on a lot of the research of a guy named Richard Souter, who... It's very hard to interview, so Richard kind of went through all the material. I don't know if you ever saw, Washington Post did a project, it was in 2010 or 12, called Top Secret America, and one of the reporters, it was a team of two reporters, one of them put together a database of all the different top secret installations that had been built in the country, including since the Patriot Act. And what you saw was just this explosion of money in building so many both underground and above ground facilities.
For themselves, how I learned to stop worrying and love climate change. Catherine Austin Fitz.
Unless you've been hiding under a rock, everyone knows that Shilajit is one of the most incredible super nutrients, and they don't even know how it's formed deep under the earth. It's just got incredible amino acids and natural peptides that nothing else has. And what does it do for you? Everything. Your skin, your clarity, your focus. I'm on this stuff. Your wife, your girlfriend will thank you. That's just a little side issue. Shilajit's awesome, but this is the best, purest, strongest Shilajit with a whole bunch of other badass stuff in it. We throw the kitchen sink at you because we want it to work, and it will. And it funds the Second American Revolution worldwide. So get this great t-shirt design and hundreds of others, the biggest selection, at thealexjonesstore.com, funding the Second American Revolution worldwide. God almighty.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is The American Journal. Second hour is on. We've got a whole heck of a lot to talk about still. Censorship. Impeachment attempts. We'll try to draw some of these together here. Power is restored in Spain and Portugal after a widespread outage. A spokesperson for the electric and gas supplier in Portugal, REN, said Tuesday the power had been restored to all substations in the country's grid and everything was 100% operational. All 6.4 million electricity users in Portugal were now getting power, the Portuguese news agency Lusa reported. The cause of the blackout, which stranded tens of millions of people on the Iberian Peninsula, remained unknown early Tuesday. Eduardo Prieto, the director of services for Spain's national power company Red Electra, told journalists on Tuesday morning there were no definitive conclusions as to the reason for the outage. He joined a corps of officials who declared that there had been no cybersecurity attack, but he also ruled out human error and meteorological causes. He said the Spanish electricity system had shut down after being hit by two separate power outages just a second and a half apart. This may seem like a small amount, but the electrical world, it's a significant amount. He said that the shutdowns had occurred in southwestern Spain. Christian Ruby, General Secretary of Euroelectric, a trade body that represents the European electricity industry, said it could take weeks or even months to complete the technical analysis required to fully understand the outage. But some initial information has already emerged, he said. Around noon on Monday, a high-voltage connection line between Spain and France was interrupted. The power outage occurred just over 30 minutes later. While the interruption would have been disruptive, it would not normally lead to a system collapse like seen on Monday, Mr. Ruby said. Something more typically would need to happen, like a sudden outage at a power plant, a sudden development on the demand side, then you can have an incident like this. Mr. Ruby said the outages were somewhere on the scale between a 50 to 100 year event. But I have the feeling we're going to see a lot more of this. I have the feeling that these 50 to 100 years events are going to start becoming yearly events, because you have a bunch of different contributing factors to this, but pretty much all of them are the consequence of the designed policy of the people in power. In fact, you had lots of people sharing videos like this one, clip number 10. This was Spain just 3 years ago. Let's watch. That's a nuclear power plant being demolished. He's doing the soy face too. Yeah, pumping his gay little fist. They did it. They're destroying their energy independence. Look at them go. Look how proud and happy they are. So, I mean, it's, are you surprised? Oh my gosh, Spain had a widespread blackout. Really? Well, what have they been doing recently? Oh, dismantling their energy infrastructure. Oh, all right. Of course, we had the article from probably 2 years ago from Bloomberg where they celebrated the only country in the world that was not only meeting, but exceeding their climate change initiative goals. And that, of course, was South Africa, because they no longer had the competence necessary to maintain their electrical grid, and it was barely functioning. And so they, Bloomberg congratulated them for meeting and even exceeding their climate change goals by reverting back to a third world nation incapable of producing electricity in a sustainable level. So it's not, are you surprised? Are you shocked by what's happening? It would really be inexplicable if they spent the last several decades, you know, hardening and repairing and building up infrastructure and getting the best people to work on these highly complicated and extremely sophisticated systems. But no, they've done the opposite. They've done the exact opposite. They have systematically dismantled their own ability to produce energy while simultaneously replacing their own population and hiring people on the basis of identity rather than capability. And it's left the people managing these systems incapable of upholding them and maintaining them and, you know, noticing things like a small disruption that, if noticed and dealt with, would have prevented the entire country from going dark. But you get rid of all the old guys that actually know how this stuff functions, and what you're left with is a bunch of incompetents running around scratching their heads while your lights go out. Remember, the same thing happened with the Colonial Pipeline, where nobody knew how to turn it off manually. And when the electric control system went down, there was nobody with the, you know, institutional knowledge to actually fix the problem because they'd all been so reliant on their, you know, automated processes. I mean, just remember, you know, you'll look back fondly at this time. One day, we survive a couple decades from now, you'll be looking back and going, remember when widespread countrywide day-long power outages were like a news story? Remember when that was a rare thing, that when it occurred, it was like a major news story across the world? Remember when it happened in Spain? Everybody was like, what is this? How could this happen? Like, just understand that a couple decades from now, this will be a regular thing, like it is in South Africa. Your electricity is just not going to work half the day, or it's just going to go out for a month at a time, or your local transformer will be broken into so people can steal the oil from it to cook or the copper from it to sell. So just look, just know that you'll be looking back fondly at these times where the occasional widespread power outage is rare and in a unique occurrence. This will be quaint in a couple years when this is a very regular and indeed like deliberate sort of thing. Both Spain and Portugal shut down on Monday afternoon. Traffic lights across the country. Oh, yeah. Well, that's not the only. It wasn't just the nuclear power plant that went down. From Will Hild on X, for those keeping score at home, April 22nd, Spain brags about hitting 100% renewable power. April 28th, Spain has the nation's largest blackout in history. Okay, so April 22nd, Spain hits first weekday of 100% renewable power on national grid. Spain's grid ran entirely on renewable energy for the first time April 16th, with wind, solar, and hydro, meaning all peninsular electricity demand during a weekday. 5 days later, solar set a new record, generating 20,000 megawatts of instantaneous power, covering 78.6% of demand and 61% of grid mix, to be followed less than a week later by a massive nationwide blackout, the largest in the country's history. So I want to ask you, are you prepared for this? Are you ready for this reality? Do you have a generator? Do you have storable food? Do you have means of communication that are battery powered and not reliant on cell phone towers? Because if not, now's the time. Now's the time. I bet there were a hell of a lot of people in Spain sitting there going, I should have gotten the generator. When I had a chance, I should have ordered the generator. Getting out their phone, scrolling to Amazon, trying to order the generator, finding that the credit card processing is down. Maybe they can't even connect in the first place because the internet is down, and going, wish I had a radio. Sure wish I had a high-powered CB-style radio so I could communicate and find out what the hell's going on and what's happening outside of my immediate range of vision. So just remember, by the time you need it, it's too late to get it. So get it now. Be prepared now. It doesn't take a civil war. It doesn't take a, you know, once in a millennia sunspot to cause this. It could just be basic incompetence. It could just be totally unexplained and just happen randomly for no particular reason. So be prepared. So be prepared for this. Maria del Carmen Sanchez, a school assistant at Cervantes Secondary School in Madrid, said barely 5% of the students came into school on Tuesday. The blackout, quote, was very confusing because we had no communication with the outside world. Some parents arrived very late with their children. With the chaos of the situation, I think everything went quite well. People were patient, although there were some nerves and concerns at first. In downtown Lisbon, parents dropped off their children at school on Tuesday morning. Gyms had opened their doors again, and the sound of power drills filled the air. In Murcia, a city in southeastern Spain, police officers who'd been stationed at intersections to direct traffic were gone, and the traffic lights were working normally again. You know, thank goodness that, as far as I've seen, there haven't been widespread reports of looting or, you know, other sort of mob activities, but I'm not sure the same would be true for America. I think you have to consider that additional danger in all of this. And it's one of those things, like, I'm sure people have seen the meme of returning the shopping cart. And it's this thing, it's an expression of civilizational aptitude in an individual. In other words, how fit you are for living in a society that depends on cooperation and, you know, mutual respect, that there's no punishment for not returning your shopping cart. It's not a law. You're not going to get in trouble. No one's going to get mad at you. No one's going to force you to do it. And there's no reward for it. No one's going to celebrate you. No one's going to cheer you. No one's going to pat you on the back. You don't get any money. It's inconvenient. Yeah, let's read this actual one, because this is like one of the best memes of all time. One of the best posts in the history of 4chan. The shopping cart is the ultimate litmus test of whether a person is capable of self-governing. To return the shopping cart is an easy and convenient task, which we all recognize as the correct, appropriate thing to do. To return the shopping cart is objectively right, and there are no situations other than dire emergencies in which a person is not able to return their cart. Simultaneously, it is not illegal to abandon your shopping cart. Therefore, the shopping cart presents itself as the apex example of whether a person will do what is right without being forced to do it. No one will punish you for not returning the shopping cart. No one will fine you or kill you for not returning the shopping cart. You gain nothing by returning the shopping cart. You must return the shopping cart out of the goodness of your own heart. You must return the shopping cart because it's the right thing to do and because it is correct. A person who is unable to do this is no better than an animal, an absolute savage who can only be made to do what is right by threatening them with law and force that stands behind it. The shopping cart is what determines whether a person is a good or bad member of society. And I think that's a perfect breakdown of the requirements of liberty, right? Like we say on this show all the time, liberty is not a license to do anything. It's an obligation to do the right thing without being forced, because that's the deal you make. If you can't behave yourself, you know, by yourself out of your own volition, then somebody has to come in and force you to do it. Which means you have to have laws, which you have to have, and it's just, you can see this across the board. If the customers can't be trusted not to shoplift, you got to put everything behind plexiglass, right? If your neighbors or your fellow Americans can't be trusted not to break into your home and try to kill you while you sleep, then, well, you got to have security cameras and barbed wire and high fences and security guards. So the decline of liberty is in perfect lockstep with the decline of personal responsibility. But there's another test that I think is just as accurate as the shopping cart test, and that is the power out traffic lights being off test. Can you comprehend the right thing to do when there are no traffic lights? Everybody knows what the right thing to do is. Everybody who's driving, who has a license, should know the rule set that comes into that gets activated as soon as, you know, the power goes out. I shouldn't even have to explain it, but you start treating it like a four-way stop. It's really not complicated. It's actually extremely efficient. It's actually funny because sometimes lights will go out and intersections actually become more efficient. I've seen that happen where stoplights were normally you're waiting for like 5 minutes just to get through the light and then the lights go out and everybody starts just going one by one and actually gets you through the light faster. But I've also been in situations, particularly, tell me if you're surprised by this, when I was living in Washington, D.C., I was shocked at the amount of times that, A, the lights would go out. It's like you would think that being in a place where snowfall is a regular occurrence, it wouldn't cause your power to go out every time it happened, but maybe I'm expecting too much. But then when it would happen, I mean, people just would drive right through the, it was like, they're like, oh, the traffic light's out. I don't see a red light, so I can just go through the intersection. And it was crazy. It was crazy how rare it was that people actually did the, you know, treat it like a four-way stop kind of thing. And it's just, you know, it's one of the things that's like, it's a metaphor for you being able to understand the responsibility of living in a society. Of like, sure, I could just drive right through. No one's stopping you. You could just bully your way through the intersection. And it might, you know, make your trip 3 seconds shorter. But it's better for everybody if you just wait your turn. And everybody gets that. But then, you know, it's beyond a metaphor because then you think of a time when the power actually goes out for a long time. You have to think who in your society has the ability to understand second order effects and ability to, you know, sacrifice their own convenience for the good of the whole. Or, and how many people are just going to be taking advantage of the collapse in control infrastructure to just do whatever they think they can get away with. And it's not so much a metaphor as a stark warning of the future. Again, I cannot tell you how many times. And it would happen in waves, right? You'd get to a stoplight. You're like 3 or 4 cars back. And at first you pull up and you can see, okay, your side goes and then the right goes and the left goes. And it's like, okay. But then there'll be one time when one car goes and then the car behind them just also goes. And then the car behind them is like, oh, this is what we're doing. And they go also. And suddenly you have a stream of cars and everybody, and they're just like not even paying attention. And you can tell. I don't know why. I have this very distinct memory of watching people just driving along. It's not like they're looking up and like looking left and right. They're just like, oh, the car in front of me is going. I go. There's no thought, no, you know, personal consideration of like, is this the right thing to do? They're just doing whatever the person in front of them is doing, like literal sheep or cows going to the slaughterhouse. Just like follow the leader. They're doing it. Then I can get away with it too. Anyway, you just think about these things when the power goes out and you think, gee, are the people that I live around the type of people that in these extraordinary circumstances come together and do what's necessary and self-sacrifice to help everybody equally? Or are they the type of people to think, hey, the security guards are out. Let's start causing trouble. Hey, the people in this neighborhood aren't going to be able to call the cops. Let's go loot them. Because we are increasingly surrounded by those types, you could say. One might say. So good for Spain getting their stuff back up in order, but I have to assume that this wouldn't have happened with, you know, basic understanding of these systems. Because again, you have this small, you have like one wire in northwest Spain getting hit by a wind and the whole country's power goes out? Like, what the hell are you talking about? How does that happen? How is nobody able to, like, recognize and counteract the problem before it spreads across the entire country? And, of course, I don't need to tell you. It's obviously true. Blackout risk made worse by net zero, some experts claim. Experts suggest that net zero policies contributed to a greater risk of blackout due to extensive solar energy use. The Portuguese National Cybersecurity Center stated there was no indication of a cyber attack causing the outage. Spain's Interior Ministry declared a state of emergency following this massive power outage. The cause of the outage is being analyzed with all resources dedicated to addressing the issue. But of course, it's not, obviously, the risk of blackout is worse when you are systematically dismantling your reliable energy production for unreliable energy production. It's not really, I don't think I have to explain this any more than that. And of course, it's not exactly something that's like unknown and unexpected. Again, you just have to look at the article from Bloomberg about South Africa. They actually celebrate the fact that collapsing infrastructure, reverting your country back from the first to the third world, and no longer being able to uphold sophisticated modern systems is a good thing and a desired outcome of the climate change agenda. Which may be one of the reasons why Trump is dismissing all these people. From Ground News, Trump administration dismisses all authors of national climate assessment, report says. President Donald Trump's administration has dismissed nearly 400 contributors to the sixth national climate assessment, casting doubts on the report's future in 2028, due in 2028, according to an email seen by Reuters. The scope of the national climate assessment is being evaluated in accordance with the Global Change Research Act of 1990, which was signed by Republican President George H.W. Bush. The Trump administration has targeted scientific research and enacted job cuts at multiple agencies like the EPA and the NIH, citing wasteful spending. The National Climate Assessment was mentioned in Project 2025, which suggested that contributors should be better scrutinized. And of course they should, and they should be kicked out. It's really not that complicated. And, you know, it's hard to really explain how devastating these policies truly are in like a million different ways. But this article at least goes some way in describing just one of the negative consequences of the Green New Deal madness that has got Europe in its grip. The EU Green Deal, how environmental policies are devastating the mental health of French farmers, leading to suicide. In France, the cradle of European agriculture, a silent drama unfolds in the fields. Every 2 days, a farmer takes his own life. Trapped in a web of economic, bureaucratic, and regulatory pressures that have reached unsustainable levels. And we haven't covered it much recently. I guess it's sort of slowed down a little bit, but over the last several years, we have reported endlessly on the war on farmers, war on food production itself, whether it's cutting off farmers from nitrogen or just confiscating and shutting down family farms like they're doing in the Netherlands. The backlash of this was massive. Farmers clogging up capital cities in Berlin and Madrid and Paris and all over Europe, protesting the policies that are deliberately shutting down farm production. And they say this, and they admit this. And we have clips of John Kerry and, you know, leaders of Europe talking about the way that farming was hurting the environment and had to be shut down. In the UK, you have these death taxes, estate taxes, ratcheted up in the recent past to basically be confiscatory, right? They want to confiscate the farms, so they increase the taxes to levels that can't be sustained, and so then they confiscate the farms and, you know, build migrant housing on them. And think about what the effects of blocking out the sun will be. As we know, the UK announced that they're starting that initiative. Well, I don't know if you passed second grade biology, but plants need sun to survive. So they're literally destroying our ability to feed ourselves, and it's all on purpose, and the electricity is just part of it.
Now, you told me you've never heard of methylene blue.
Uh-uh.
It is a complex molecule that the Germans invented. The UN calls it, which I'm a really fan of the UN, the most important drug ever invented. We don't sell it as a drug. It's a supplement. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., can you guys put that on screen? Famously takes 3 shots of it. That's triple the dose you're supposed to take. I take about a half shot every 3 days of it in water. And it electrochemically cleans out your mitochondria. And so it's not a stimulant, but it has a stimulant effect all natural without any letdown because it just increases the electrical activity of the cells.
Okay, maybe I better take a half a dose because I'm old.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, what do you do, drink the whole thing?
Yeah. And
chug it?
I've given this to around 200 people now, and half have extreme energy within 30 minutes and get blown away by it. A small percent get scared they get so much energy. and three or four people have felt nothing. But what I really feel is weeks into it, because I take another methylene blue, it wasn't as strong. This is medical grade, USP, is that my workouts, my stamina, my clarity, my everything is just next level. And everything else I take, the other supplements, it synergistically boosts it. So I hope everybody tries it, because you just keep, and I know you'll tell me the truth.
I will.
So here you go.
Okay. It's not tasty, but it's not horrible.
Well, yeah, normal methylene blue tastes horrible. This has natural mint and vanilla in it to just try to kill the taste. But it does not have a nice taste.
Well, I think I had enough.
Well, that was only a half dose. So if you only drink half, that's a quarter dose.
Okay, so wait.
You know what Mary Poppins says? A spoonful of sugar. But some people feel it in 5 minutes, most in 30 if you're going to feel it.
It'd be so great if I did feel it.
Oh, I think you're going to feel it. I mean, almost everybody does.
Cool.
The first time you take it, a lot of people feel electricity shooting through their hands.
Like what shooting through their hands?
Electricity, like your Emperor Palpatine.
Uh-oh.
Unlimited power! Unlimited power!
I'm not going to be like that.
Well, I'm like that normally. So.
Yeah, you are like that normally.
So that's what methylene blue does.
I feel tingling fingers.
You're feeling the Palpatine love?
I think I feel the Palpatine love, yeah. It's our government. We can't depend on anybody but ourselves. We have to put our boots on the ground and go in there and demand, not ask, demand.
And release our unlimited power!
Absolutely, because this is our country, the one we send our kids to fight and die for. None of them do. We got to do it. It's the working people of this country, and when they get it together and talk to their neighbors and forget all the divisions they're forcing us into, it's going to fall, and it's going to fall fast, and then we're going to have the government we dream of, the government we pray for.
Yeah!
We got to do it! I feel it in my head and neck, too. Like, when I'm talking, it seems like it's not really me talking. I can hear my talking and going, wow, you...
I agree. It's almost like an out-of-body experience. For somebody like, well, that's how it's like, I didn't tell you that. It's like you're behind yourself.
That is what it feels like. But my brain's going really fast.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
This is the American Journal. I got so many videos to show you, and I don't even know how I'm gonna get to all of them, especially since I want you to take your phone calls for the second half of today's program. The number to dial if you do want to call in is 1-877-789-2539. That's 1-877-789-2539. Tell us what you think. What are your takeaways of the Canadian election or the impeachment attempt by old Shree over there? By the way, apparently the guy who wants to impeach Donald Trump has a history of abandoning dogs that they do scientific experiments on. I don't know. I don't know what this is about, but that apparently is in his past. Again, it probably would have been better if this guy just stayed anonymous. Nobody knew who he was really before he made this video. Now everybody's looking into him and discovering he certainly shouldn't be a congressman and probably shouldn't even be in the country, if we're being honest. I can't even find the exact thing. It's something like 170 dogs Here it is. So the weirdo who wants to impeach Trump came to the U.S. on a student visa in 1979 from India, married a U.S. citizen in 1984 and obtained his papers through her. And then she killed herself by overdosing on antidepressants. Okay. In 2010, 170 tortured dogs and monkeys were rescued from a pharmaceutical testing facility in New Jersey owned by Thanidar. Time to look into this guy. About 170 monkeys and dogs were rescued from in 2010 from an abandoned pharmaceutical testing lab owned by Sri Thanidar, a Michigan Democrat gubernatorial candidate currently leading in the polls. Okay, maybe he and Fauci could share tips on how to torture innocent dogs to death. I don't know. Just practicing, I guess, for what they'll eventually do to humans. Like I said, I have so many videos to get to. Maybe I'll just go to these sort of without context or without a unifying theme, because they're all, I think, very important. We'll just start with clip number one here, because this is one of those signals, right? There are a lot of things that are happening that don't get media attention, because a lot of times they're hard to even quantify, or the way that we quantify these things has been changed and manipulated so much recently that the data that we get is unusable. In this case, I'm talking about education, right? It's hard to tell the state of education when the educational institutions have decided that grades are no longer functional. They're racist and have to be removed. Kind of hard to have a news report about failing academics when it looks like everybody's getting an A, right? And so you have to take these individual anecdotes and derive the widespread trend from them. And we see a lot of these anecdotes from everywhere across the entire country. I read the post yesterday about the way the teacher was getting frustrated because she was being forced to grade projects equally, even though they're completely different. Basically, if you turn something in, you got an A. The kids who went above and beyond and work extra, you know, were just learned that there was no point and learned that they were being idiots by actually trying, and that they could just do the bare minimum, turn things in late, put no effort, no creativity into it, and get the same score. And so that's what they start doing. And I understand, I'll go to that video in just a second, but I see the crew just dropped me a note saying Tony in Australia has called in from all the way in the land down under. We love getting international callers, and he doesn't have long to hold. So, Tony, calling from Australia. Thank you so much, sir. How are you?
Thanks, Harrison. Appreciate it. I'm going really well, man. I hope you're going well.
I am. Thank you.
Yeah, basically, we've got an election coming up this week in Australia. So obviously, Canada's had its election, and unfortunately, you know, the World Economic Forum globalist puppet has gotten in. And Australia's in a bit of a weird predicament, because obviously in Canada you've got, I think it was Pierre, whatever his surname was, I can't quite pronounce it, who was on the anti-establishment or somewhat anti-establishment right. But in Australia, our so-called paradigm actually, you know, we've got both parties, the two major parties, you know, you've got the people who are the current ruling party, they lean left, they are communists, and you've got the people on the right who are supposed to be the conservatives are actually totalitarian and they're authoritarian.
Right.
So in Australia, we've got, you know, we're in a lot of trouble, Harrison. You know, we've got, the two options are both as bad as each other. And, you know, it's not looking good for us, man. It's not looking good for us. You know, they've let in about 1.5 million people. The majority of them have come from India and come from China. And obviously they're importing voters like the Democrat Party have done in America to influence the election. And they are going to influence the election because you've got the current Labor Party. You've had the cost of living crisis, Harrison. It's been crazy. You know, basic essentials have gone up 20-30%. You can't afford to pay rent. You know, gas prices have skyrocketed. And Australia's adopted this carbon neutral, you know, climate woke policies that have destroyed the prices. You know, it's just made it go through the roof. And you know, we're in real trouble, man. You've seen what's happened in you know, Spain and Portugal with this whole blackout, Australia is at a massive risk of having, you know, serious blackouts because of our, you know, our uptake of these renewable energies, you know, big for the climate scam. So, yeah, it's not looking good for us, mate. It's going to be an interesting week. I'm dreading the result. And obviously, you know, Australia, which was once the land of the free, is no longer the free. And it's just becoming real dire, mate.
Yeah, I've always thought that Australia was almost like the testing ground of the New World Order. I mean, just look at the way, you know, Australians were treated during COVID. Their restrictions, y'all's restrictions, was so much worse than practically anywhere else. And of course, it's bizarre because you look at Australia's, you know, reputation in the 90s even, and it was like a bunch of, you know, manly men. It was Crocodile Dundee, and it was and somehow over the last couple of decades, it's been totally sissified. It's really, really bizarre. And, you know, I don't pay as much attention to Australian politics as Europe or even Canada. But, yeah, I feel for you guys. And I've been paying attention to some of the, you know, free speech measures or, you know, anti-free speech measures that have been put in place there. You know, blaming Nazis with basically.
Yeah, shocking, man.
Yeah, making just awful. Personal expression illegal.
Awful, man. You know, we've seen the way that they've clamped down on free speech. The opposition, you know, which is the alternative government, which is supposed to protect the interests of, you know, people who lean right, people who promote freedom, were the ones who actually were the biggest supporters. We've had an under 16 social media bill which has come in. So basically, 16-year-olds are not allowed to have social media. You know, they're controlling what they can see, you know, on social media, what news they're allowed to access. And it's obviously a testing case for the rest of the population. And they've also were the biggest pioneers of the e-safety commissioner. So now you've got an e-safety Karen who sits down and they filter out, you know, the news that Australians are able to read.
Right.
You know, if they see that they don't like something that is against the government, they'll filter it out. They'll even, you know, take certain conservative voices to court. And, you know, this is the opposition that so as to be countering the current tyrannical government is actually they're even more tyrannical. So that's the current state of affairs in Australia. And, you know, the ultimate reality is Australia needs a total capitulation of the two-party system. And it's a bit similar, you know, that, you know, a lot of these Western countries you've seen in, you know, the UK, you've seen in the US, in Canada, they rely on this two-party system. But the problem is the two-party system is the barrier to achieving the change that we all want to see. You know, we see, you know, the issues that you have with Democrats and Republicans, you know, obviously Republicans are better, but, you know, they are two cloths of the, you know, some would say they are two coins of the same, you know, two sides of the same coin.
Yep.
At the end of the day, Harrison.
And, two, you know, two arms the of the same issue. Monster. Yeah. No, you're exactly right. So what do you want people to know? I mean, it's like, I don't know, it sucks, but I feel very similar to Canada where it's like, okay, Pierre Poilievre or Mark Carney, like it's either rapid adoption of globalist politics or, you know, more steady adoption of globalist politics. But it's like, why vote for either one of these when both are promising to bring you into this totalitarian, technocratic, globalist system? So, I mean, are you going to vote in the Australian election? And, you know, what advice would you give to your fellow Australians?
Well, we have to vote. We have compulsory voting. It's not like America where you can opt in. So you are forced to vote, otherwise you're fined.
Whoa.
So the reasoning behind this is they believe that they engage the entire population. But what you get is you get, Australian politics is dumbed down and you have, the people who are not interested, they basically vote because, you know, they feel like it. And a lot of the time that leads to, you know, these tyrannical governments being, you know, put in rather than appealing to people who actually, you know, want to listen. They're actually appealing to a bunch of disinterested people who actually really don't really care and they're only voting because otherwise they'd get fined if they don't. So
wow.
The best thing I can say to Australians is to, you know, is to stock up, is to, you know, train hard, keep yourself in a good physical condition because at the end of the day, you know, you can choose to leave it, you know, you're stuck in Australia, you know, unless you decide to move overseas. Because ultimately, there's not many countries that you can find true freedom anymore. You know, at the end of the day, you know, Australia is not ideal, but you have to make good with what you have. So you need to, you know, get yourself in the right psychological place. You need to eat good. You need to train yourself up. You need to, you know, filter out the bad bullshit at the end of the day, Harrison. And that's the best way I can say it to people, is to keep yourself above board, because that's what Australians didn't do during COVID. And that's how they implemented these, you know, tyrannical lockdowns, these restrictions. And that's why the vast majority of people, I myself didn't get the vaccine because I knew it was a complete scam. But a lot of Australians were sucked into getting these, you know, these COVID shots because they let themselves get influenced by media. And right. That's the thing you need. We need to get this constant education out to people. You know, they need to listen to people like you guys at InfoWars. They need to listen to people who will give them alternative opinions, who challenge, you know, the mainstream. Because at the end of the day, if you can't rationalize, you haven't got a chance in life, Harrison, and you'll know this. So that's, you know, that's the best thing Australians can do. That even if they do spout their rubbish, which is what they're going to do, both sides of the coin are going to spout their rubbish, at least people, you know, are disobeying and say, you can't tread on me.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. And, of course, as we always point out in InfoWars, I mean, we have a two-pronged approach to these problems. One is collectivizing, protesting, getting out on the street, being politically active, changing the system through the system, which is absolutely necessary and possible with, you know, appropriate, popular will. You can do that, but at the same time, and not in contravention to that, but in cooperation with that, keeping yourself personally aware, informed, healthy, and trying to, you know, combat the psychological and physical poison that you're being confronted with. And you got to be able to do both of these things at the same time. So I completely resonate and agree with your advice. You got to stay healthy and informed, because hey, it can be, even if you like don't like the vaccine, it can be really hard to stand up against a well-informed pusher of the vaccine, you know, spitting facts at you, spitting data at you, whether it's true or not. It can be hard to like argue against that if you don't have the facts on your own side and don't have a comprehensive understanding from your own position of why you believe what you believe. Not that it's necessary. Like, if you don't like my wife's just like, oh, a vaccine in my blood? No, thank you. Like that. And that's as far as the reasoning needs to go. And of course, as a person in a theoretically free country, that should be enough, to stop you. But I know personally, like when you go with your kid to the doctor and they're putting the pressure on you to get vaccines, if you aren't really confident in your information, which, you know, I am, because I've done the research, and you go, look, here's the disease, here's the likelihood he gets it, here's the likelihood he dies from it, here's the likelihood of complications from the vaccine, I've weighed the pros and cons, and I don't think it's something I want to do. And if you can't make that argument, it can be really hard to, you know, stand up for yourself. So you've got to have the information to back up your stance. That's the ammo that you need to wage this information war. Thank you so much for the call, Tony. I really do appreciate it. And, of course, we will always love our Australian audience, our fellow Australian or our fellow info warriors in Australia. Thanks so much for calling from so far away. And of course, if you are an international caller, we will give you priority, because we know it can be more expensive to call in from overseas. Or I guess it's a 1-877 number. So, but either way, we love getting our international callers, because this is a global broadcast, because it's a global attack, and it requires a global response from the globalists that are doing the same things in Australia that they're doing in Canada, New Zealand, UK, America, and everywhere else that they have their greasy little fingers. So it's a human fight we're fighting here, and we love getting calls from overseas. So thank you for that, Tony, and Godspeed, and I hope you guys turn things around. I really do. All right. Brilliant stuff. We'll go back to your calls in just a second. I do want to go to this video, though, because, again, as I said before, you're not going to get a lot of news reports about this, even though ask any teacher, talk to anybody with kids in school, it's obvious what's happening here. The kids are being failed, which means America's being failed, which means we're gonna have a generation of just hopelessly incompetent people. And while that's very bad news for humanity as a whole, I guess the silver lining here would be, if you give your kid just bare minimum maturity, bare minimum knowledge, bare minimum responsibility, they are going to destroy their competition. Like, I'm genuinely excited knowing that my kid is not going to be addicted to an iPad, watching weird YouTube compilations with Spider-Man and Elsa. Like, it sucks. My kid's going to grow up in a class and in a generation just mentally rotten and destroyed. That sucks. But at least he's going to be smarter and fitter and more attached to reality than all of the rest of them. Here's a video of a substitute teacher describing his first experience going into a public school in the United States of America. God help us all. Let's watch.
I thought y'all was lying to me on this app when y'all said that these kids didn't know nothing. These kids don't know like nothing, nada. They don't know basic math, like addition, subtraction, division, fractions, multiplication. They don't know none of it. And it is really sad. They can tell you what a gay person is, what's bisexual, what the diddy do, what kind of gun this is, who sang this song, the lyrics to that, and they know all of that. They know what studs and dykes is, but they don't know what basic math is. Parents, what are y'all doing? Y'all are failing y'all kids. It is not on these teachers. All they're doing is just talk, play around, horse around. Y'all got work to do. Like, I'm not understanding, and they don't even understand why they don't understand. And it's more confusing. Like, what?
I love just the pure unfiltered expression of just bafflement. Just like, what is going on here? They don't understand. They don't even understand that they don't understand. They have no comprehension of like why they should even need to know math, let alone how to do it. But ask them about P. Diddy. They know all about that. It's just, it sucks, man. It really sucks. And, you know, he's right about the fact that it's the parents' fault, first and foremost. Because it absolutely is. And, you know, parents, I think a lot of times just love the excuse of like, oh, these schools. And it's like, no. It's not the schools. Look at anybody. I mean, look at anybody, you know, who's achieved success from a, not ideal starting point. And it's like, America is still the land of opportunity. It is still true of America that like, every single person can get top quality education, can get top quality services from their government to further their education as a kid, the library, the school resources. I mean, we are very, very generous to our youth. And, if you want to take advantage of that, then you'll succeed. And if you don't, then you won't. It really is as simple as that. At the same time, it is very clearly not just the teachers, but the administration directing the teachers to bring this about. I mean, I don't know. The teaching profession is a weird one because my mom was an elementary school teacher and, you know, for the most part, the good teachers just don't want anything to do with the bureaucratic bullcrap, but they're hamstrung by it, but they aren't usually the type of people that will stand up and cause trouble and make a fuss. Like they just, it's sort of like they just, you, the good teachers just genuinely have a love of teaching kids. And it's like, you can throw whatever obstacles you want in the way. They'll just deal with them so they can teach the kids. So you know, you throw at them, okay, we're going to have a training session and we're going to have this, we're going to have that. And you're going to have to teach your kids about this. And the teachers will just go, whatever, just fine. Just let me teach the kids. Just I'll do it. I'll do whatever this is, whatever. Just let me teach the kids. And so they just don't speak up and don't say anything. And then you end up with like the post we saw yesterday where it's teacher going, I don't know what to do because I want to grade the kids who do the project well better than the kids who, you know, half-ass it and barely complete it. But the administration tells me, just tell the kids life isn't fair and give the pencil drawing the same score that you give the glitter and made up, you know, high effort project. And so the teacher does, and they just do, and they just go, wow, this is terrible, but okay. And then they do it. So I don't know, man. It's the teachers and the parents, and it's the fact that the parents aren't involved and don't know what's going on in their kid's school and don't actually care if their kids succeed. I don't know how you deal with system-wide failure from 1,000 inflection points other than just get away. But I don't support getting away. I support taking it all back by force, but that's just me. I got a lot more videos to go to. Oh, I'll go to one of your calls, then I'll go to some of these videos in the final hour. But boy, do I have a lot. Let's go to Tucson Jones in Arizona. Tucson Jones, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, Harrison.
Good morning.
Hey, I just want to bring you guys' attention to Davis-Monthan Air Force Base, Tucson, Arizona. There's been a longstanding homeless encampment in the northwest corner of this base for years. In the last 2 years, it's grown exponentially. And what makes it more fascinating is directly across the street on the grounds of the Air Force Base is a Border Patrol facility where they are doing their human trafficking. And what's interesting about the location of this is that it's right at the end of the runway where airplanes take off, or sorry, land. They take off at the other end, obviously. But A-10s, F-16s, all that, they fly right over this area, and they do nothing about it. And your guys' report the other day about the ammunition really struck home with me, because there are busts here in Tucson and the surrounding areas that stuff happens all the time. These guys are collecting ammo and weapons, and I know people personally who have participated in these acts, and I've cut them out of my lives because I don't want nothing to do with those types of people. They're destroying our country, and they're allowing it to happen. And you can look at the images there and see that there's hundreds of tents, but now there's even more. The image on Google right now is nothing compared to what it is right now. They have RVs, camp, like a real encamp. We're not talking a couple of dome tents. We're talking party tents that hold 50 people. Are you looking at it? I'm sorry, I'm at work right now.
No, I'm not finding any images of the homeless camp, but I know the camps that I've been to in Austin. I mean, it's like they're like full-fledged houses. There's like multi-story tents with like pools inside the tents. It's crazy. So yeah.
They got generators, they got power, and they make little efforts around the surrounding area, but this is an actual park where people have, you know, they're supposed to be riding their bikes, like a BMX trail, you know?
Right.
But it's taken over. So, I suggest we go out there and just start, you know, grab some metal detectors and a bunch of buddies, arm up, start walking the ground, see if there's anything buried out there. It might be interesting.
You know, there's something to that. I mean, look, it is definitely a national security threat. And I don't know. In the last couple of days, I've heard about half a dozen, bases like this that either they got illegal immigrant camps just outside of it, stockpiling ammo, or just homeless camps where God knows what's going on because there's, you know, no oversight there, no concern. I mean, if that's not a national security threat, I don't know what is. We'll be back with the third hour of the American Journal in just a few minutes. Stay with us, folks.
There's nobody in media more effective than this operation and my crew and my host and what we do and you. You're the Paul Revere's. You are the InfoWar. You're everything. So share the article, share the videos, buy the products at thealexjonesstore.com. But the biggest thing you can do at thealexjonesstore.com is commit. You can cancel anytime for free, but sign up as a VIP month to month for $30 a month. And then you get $40 to spend in the store on products. You get special deals, special sales on top of sales, special offers of products nobody else gets. We're adding more troublesome all the time. Biggest selection of Patriot apparel. T-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters. We're adding a lot more stuff. Collectible limited edition knives with special inscriptions. So much at thealexjonesstore.com. But the supplements are really the most amazing thing. The very best Irish sea moss. Don't know about that? Get it. The very best super concentrated turmeric with other super ingredients that are so good for your whole body. Just do things for everything. That's back in stock. The ultimate turmeric. But getting back to the VIP. We need to be able to gauge that we've got the support. We've had to beef security. We've had to do a lot of other things. We're battling these legal battles. We're winning. But if people think we've won the war and just go back to sleep, it's going to be hellish. The globalists are done, but they could really drag us in with them. It is critical that all of you make the commitment to yourself and to this operation that you are at the heart of. Realize that. I'm not just telling you that. It's true. Think about it. Without you, we're nothing. I can have all the will in the world. You magnify us millions and millions of times. You are the InfoWar. Become a VIP member now. I want to thank those that have been VIP members. I want to encourage those that haven't. Go now. Make the commitment. I need your support. We're winning this fight, but I can't do this without you. This is my Alamo message. My letter out to you. Fire in the bat signal. Become a VIP member right now at thealexjonesstore.com. There's so many benefits.
Now, Now, back to our program.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the American Journal. Third hour is on. I'll tell you what we'll do this hour. I'm going to go to a video here from Steve Bannon's War Room, but it's a guy named Dave Walsh breaking down what is likely behind the power outages yesterday in Spain and Portugal. And I think this is a great little breakdown of the failures of the Green New Energy Deal. I'm going to take your calls throughout this hour as well and probably just play as many videos as I can get to, splitting the time evenly between the videos and the phone calls, because I've got just all sorts of stuff. Tom Homan absolutely delivering a masterclass to the press. I've got arguments between India and Pakistan as they verge on nuclear war and are shouting at each other on TV. It's hilarious. We've got the governor of Illinois basically declaring war against the United States, which is completely insane. A lot still to show you in the hour ahead, including breaking news and your phone calls. But first, here is Dave Walsh on Steve Bannon's War Room explaining how renewable energy was likely a very heavy contributing factor to the blackouts in Spain and Portugal. Let's watch.
Dave Walsh, talk to me about one way we get out of this. The bedrock for it is energy, sir. Talk to me what happened in Portugal and Spain today. Is that a foreshadowing what's going to happen in the United States of America?
Well, it is. You appear to have about 6 million people in key cities in Spain, Portugal, and now France out of power for an elongated period. We're not quite sure why. There's some rumors about a spatial event with solar flares. But you know what? That doesn't affect just a tiny weeny area like Spain and Portugal. That, if that were true, that would broadcast over a very large area. Well, it hasn't. It looks like this is about their generation system. How does this affect us here? Spain over time has accepted the notion for the whole Iberian Peninsula of all solar, all wind. They're about 50% of their electricity is now produced that way, 65% of their installed capacity. It doesn't work at night. It doesn't work at night. It doesn't work when it's cloudy. So therefore, you've got like capacity factors, maybe 25%, meaning 75% of the time that doesn't work. They've now announced the shutdown of their last two coal plants and all seven of their nuclear power plants. Over the next 10 years, they will have no nighttime power effectively. The batteries don't solve that. By the way, all of the battery power and solar panels come from, guess who? From China. They're very committed to that. This is what you wind up with. Translate this to the United States of America. In 2012, electricity reserve margins here averaged 25%. We produced more than we needed to take care of the peak times of summer and winter when it's hottest and coldest. Reserve margins have collapsed to 14.5% now, only in about 18 years, because of the mass adoption of these part-time technologies that cost three times the money. And yeah, batteries are great, but they all come from China. Solar panels all come from China. We're taking in power generation resources that cost 11 times more than basic gas-fired electric power, in solar about three times more costly, battery storage about 11 times more costly, and it all comes from China, and we're incentivizing that. $42 billion a year of Biden-IRA incentives that continue to this day and are not being attacked in this version of the budget. And then B, makers inside the IRS tax code, accelerated depreciation on this stuff, five-year lives, massively accelerated depreciation schedules, another $11 billion of subsidies that way, or Chinese-sourced solar panels. 87% of those in the world are made in China. 87% of batteries in the world are made in China. Utility-scale battery storage.
Hang on. Are you saying that we, the taxpayer, are subsidizing that? That's not subsidy coming from us,
is it? Yes. We're subsidizing companies like Sarah.
Slow down. Hit rewind. I want to make sure this flows over people on a Monday morning. Give me that again.
The ITC, investment tax credit, production tax credit, and accelerated depreciation subsidies to wind, solar, and battery storage extended in the Biden IRA that were existent all the last 12 years, including this same administration last time. Those incentives were all there then. continue and cost taxpayers $42 billion a year, the tax subsidy portion in depreciation schedules.
That's Dave Walsh breaking down how the government's just creating problems that don't need to exist. So thanks.
The 8th coin in the collectible series put out in the last 3.5 years is now available. I designed all the others. The crew designed this one. It's an Alex Jones coin. Listeners have requested it. There's only 4,000 of this coin. It is vital to keep us on the air. It is minted right here in America, in Missouri. It is 999 silver bullion. It has the classic InfoWars, the year 2025, commemorating our victories over the globalist and myself and my signature. It is a great collectible, but really it's an investment in fighting the globalists. There's $40 of silver in the minting cost in this. If you're not a member at the AlexJonesStore.com, you get it for $99. If you are, you get it for $70-something. But the point is, we're not selling this as a silver purchase, as some investment. It's an investment in liberty and freedom. And if it wasn't for the viewers and listeners that bought the last 7 coins, we wouldn't be on air. So you are literally keeping us on air. The globalists are so pissed off. We're having the biggest victories ever. Thank you so much. Get your fundraiser coin now before it sells out at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, folks. We have so much covering this last hour. I just got to get into it and play some of these videos and stuff. But before I do want to remind you to go to TheAlexJonesStore.com. And this is like maybe the best sale we've ever had, at least like... You know, back before I was working at InfoWars, this is the type of sale I would take advantage of. It's the InfoWars sale, 50% off InfoWars, the InfoWars collection. Plus, you get a free flag and gym towel with every purchase. It's the signature InfoWars Legacy Collection. The InfoWars Live Legacy Collection line celebrates the iconic visuals that have defined the Alex Jones Show studio during its legendary live transmissions. These t-shirts are a tribute to the unrelenting pursuit of freedom and truth pulled straight from the heart of the broadcast. Wear these designs with pride and carry the legacy of the InfoWar forever, because, you know, no matter what happens, like, we'll keep going. We might have to be in a different studio. That's fine. We might have to rebrand. That's fine. But it is very likely that in a very, very, very short time, we will no longer be able to sell the InfoWars logo as ours. That will be taken away from us. So now is your last chance to get InfoWars branded material from InfoWars that supports InfoWars. Really, I'm going to buy some of these and just pack them away to sell them on eBay in 50 years when they're worth $10,000. This is no promise or anything. I'm not telling you any economic advice, but I'm just saying this is the end of an era that has defined American life for a lot of people and has changed the world in really irrevocable ways. So go now to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison and get yourself an InfoWars shirt, hat, collectible coin, and every purchase comes with a free flag and a gym towel, both of which are branded in that classic InfoWars Americana aesthetic that you know and love. So thank you so much for your support, and go today to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to support us. Let's go now to clip number 7. As we're talking about Spain and the collapse of the electric system and the way Trump is firing the scientists that are bolstering the argument for these insane interventions that only make everything worse and solve nothing, it's worth it to just really double down on this claim and remind you that literally every aspect of the modern environmental industry is a complete scam. It's a complete scam, which is sad because it confiscates and funnels all ecological environmental concern into these programs that do absolutely nothing to help anybody ever anywhere. Okay. Now, if there was a powerful, strident environmental movement that was protecting forests and preserving rainforests and speaking out against the fishing fleets that China is running, or trying to shut down the disgusting amounts of pollution from, you know, rivers in Asia and Africa that are disgorging just millions of pounds of plastic into the oceans on a regular basis. If it was doing anything to actually confront these things, then I'd be for it. Instead, everything they do seems to be contributing to these exact destructive phenomena, right? The global trade is why China became the powerhouse manufacturing headquarters that just pumps out pollution with absolutely no restrictions. Like everything they, the batteries that are created for the electric cars that are supposed to save us from petroleum products, well, they all, you know, get made with slave labor in using, you know, mining practices that utterly destroy entire ecosystems. So it's all a fraud. It's all a scam. Every aspect of it, including recycling. Let's watch clip 7.
Are the cameras off, sir?
Yeah. I got some pictures for you.
Yes.
Do you recognize the material in these pictures?
These look like pet food bags.
Does it look like TerraCycle material?
It's the CEO of TerraCycle,
but it also could be another facility. I have no idea.
Okay. This is actually TerraCycle material from the UK. We found 30 bales in Bulgaria where it was shipped to be burned in a cement factory.
I mean, I'd have to check. I have no idea what this, what these photos are or whether, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. But, and what do you think the volunteers would say when they see this?
You're throwing this on me. You're showing me some random photos. You're telling me everything you say is the case.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a question here?
You don't feel that this is misleading for anybody?
I don't know what these pictures are. Okay. And you keep implying. Can you guys please stop filming for a moment so I can understand?
I guess it shouldn't be that hard. Does TerraCycle send trash to Bulgaria to be burned? If not, then you should be able to say that. If it does, then you're in trouble. But he's like, I don't know. I can't tell one way or the other. You're just showing me pictures. It's like, well, the claim is that you claim to be a recycling company that's good for the earth. And so people send you their trash. You collect their trash. You actually have people volunteer. You don't even have to pay them because you tell them that they're doing a good thing and it's charitable. And so they donate their time to help you collect recyclable material. And then you send it to Bulgaria to be burned. Do you do that? He's like, bah, I don't know. I mean, what are these pictures? It's like, well, is that something you do though? I mean, if it's not, you can say that. If it is, it explains why you're acting this way. So just a little, just to emphasize, it's not just that like we're anti whatever, right? I don't know what the leftist view of the right wing is, but you know, I don't know. I imagine they think we just like hate animals or something. Right. I don't know. The reason you didn't get the vaccine is because you wanted grandma to die. And the reason you're not going along with the Green New Deal is because you hate baby seals or something equally asinine. But no, the reality is it's all a giant scam and you people are falling for it. And we, the actual environmentalists, are ignored and sidelined by these just total scams, just outright fabricated schemes. So there you go. Let's go quickly to clip number 24. This is Tom Homan, who's in charge of the mass deportations, explaining to the media what the obvious plot by the Democrats was and how they're not going to be allowed to do this, even though they act ignorant to the consequences of their own actions. Let's watch.
And as far as releasing so many people, you know why the Biden administration released millions of people in the United States? No one ever talks about it. I'll talk about it. Why did they release people into the interior of the United States and rather than put them into an ice bed? Why not put them in an empty ice bed at $127 a night rather than in a hotel room at $500 a night? They did it on purpose. Because when you put them in ICE detention bed, they get a hearing in 35 days. Court records show 9 out of 10 people claim asylum, get order removal, they're gone. But if you release them and put them in a hotel room at $500 a night, their hearings could be 5, 7, 9 years if you pull out all appeals. And what are they hoping for then? That another Democrat administration is in power. They can warrant amnesty to millions. This is about selling this country off for future political power. That's what it was. The law clearly says if you arrive at our border without proper documentation, you shall be detained. Not maybe, not think about it, shall. And that's what President Trump's doing. Catch and release is over. That's what the law says. And that's what we've done.
So yeah, it's a brilliant breakdown. If they'd actually retained them like they're supposed to, 9 out of 10 of the so-called asylum seekers would have been out within 35 days. By giving them release orders, they're not required to turn themselves in for 5 to 9 years. And of course, they're planning on amnesty before then. So yeah, we're not going to let you do that. You're not allowed to do that. Now we're going to get all of these people out of here. And again, we really just need to step it up across the board. I know there have been a couple big raids we reported on yesterday, but it's really not enough. We need immigration to the extent that we have a ticker live on in the corner of our screen that's just constantly going up as thousands of people a day are expelled. Because remember, I mean, you had days in the Biden administration where 10,000 people crossed the border. So deporting 800 here, 100 there, it's just not going to do it. It's just not going to do what's necessary. With that, we go out to calls. Jefferson in Virginia. I want to talk about the Catherine Austin Fitz and Tucker interview, specifically the discussion around zero-point energy. Go ahead, Jefferson. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning, Harrison. Thanks for having me on. Yes, their discussion is interesting in that Tucker is sort of godsmacked by the whole subject matter. It doesn't seem to be up on any of it, and maybe that's just his interview technique where he just sort of plays dumb. But he comes along gradually to understanding that deep underground military bases and transportation underground and all this stuff must have some sort of energy source that's not something that we're allowed to know about. And this Ashton Forbes guy, Four Orbs, and the MH370 videos of the Malaysian airliner disappearing into a wormhole indicates that our government, our military-industrial complex, has technology that's, like Alex has always said, is 50 years ahead of what we think exists. So it seems like magic to us, and we just can't process this information. Free energy exists. It's not something they want us to have because any number of reasons. If the population were aware that we had free energy, things would change so dramatically that they would lose control over people. But the bigger aspect is we could claim that we have solved the fusion problem and have fusion power plants that are safe all around the country, all around the world, and it would actually not be really fusion. It would be zero-point energy reactors, but you'd be lying about what's going on inside the power plant. No one would need to check, but power would be available for manufacturing in this country, which would sort of solve the high cost of labor problem. If your energy is relatively free, then the labor cost doesn't matter much. You could manufacture and still say make a product that was commercially viable. So anyway, we're so far behind the curve on this that it just seems like insurmountable that we could ever catch up. But this Ashton Forbes guy is getting more traction every day. He was on Jimmy Dore. He was on with Westfall. He's on with all these people. You really ought to have him on InfoWars while it still exists, just to discuss the ramifications of all the hiding, the classification, how many thousands, hundreds of thousands of people in the military-industrial complex know about zero-point energy, but they're they're disallowed from speaking about it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, we were one of the first outlets to have Ashton Forbes on major outlets last year. Yeah, maybe we'll invite him on again. Look, all I know is that zero-point energy absolutely exists and has existed for a while, and more and more breakthroughs are happening these days in a mainstream sort of way. A lot of times in the past, you'd have people who are sort of like reinventing experiments by Tesla, wireless energy, that sort of stuff. But it was always sort of small scale. And look, you know, I don't know if it's just because I'm looking at it now and it's just sort of whatever the bias, the recency bias. But I know I'm reading headlines about how China has perfected or has gotten very close to nuclear miniaturization and, you know, cold fusion, this sort of stuff. I know there are like 3 or 4 seemingly very viable, like, I need to bring people on to talk about it, but people I know are very involved in this and like they're holding symposiums and stuff discussing these things as if they're going to be on the market in the next couple of years. Things where like you buy you could consider it a battery pack for $10,000 and it'll power your house forever. It'll power the block forever. There are things like that that people right now are manufacturing and are trying to get to market. And it might just be that so many of these, because there's various, I mean, there's, you know, there's hydrogen, there's zero point, there's harvesting energy from the ether around us. There's all these different methods by which energy can basically become free. And that is a total upending of the entire world order. I mean, you talk about a shift in, you know, human practices. You're talking about just absolutely nothing being the same. The whole world order is the way it is because of oil, because of the need for energy. You get rid of that, you upend the entire control system. So they'll do everything they possibly can to stop that from coming out because it would benefit the people. It would actually make everything a lot better, but it would lose them control. And that's their only real overriding concern and priority. So a lot of stuff is happening right now behind the scenes. And I think it might be at this point happening to such an extent and in so many different ways that, like, I don't know if the government can keep a handle on it. Like, it's not hard for them to identify and eliminate the odd, you know, molecular engineer or whatever, geophysicist, whoever it is in his basement, you know, uploading videos of how he's created a perpetual motion machine. It's not hard for them to take that guy out one way or another. But when you have 100 of these guys with teams, you know, working with major corporations, they're not going to be able to shut this down. So we could be looking ahead very shortly to the word doesn't do it justice, but a true revolution in humankind as energy becomes infinite and free. That would be quite the advancement. Thank you very much for the call, Jefferson. COW from the pasture. We have a cow calling us on line number 9. And you want to talk about the same sort of topic and relating it to the statement from the Trump administration last week where they said we have weapons to manipulate time and space and the speculation about that. COW, you're on the air.
Hey, actually, it's KOW.
KOW, got it.
Yeah, the call screener, Sean, he has hearing problems, I think. It's an acronym for King of Wonderland. But, yeah, I wanted to talk to you guys for years about Mars and the time travel stuff. It's kind of out there, and I told you that it was going to come out to be true. Because you got to look, Harrison, do you believe in time travel?
Not really, no.
Okay, so think about it this way. You know, do you believe that by chance, any time in history in the past or any time in history in the future, that time travel is invented? If you do, then time travel has always been in existence.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, you're telling me that we're never going to figure it out or it's never been figured out before. I think it's been figured out on multiple levels that, like, within the mind you can do it. Spiritually you can do it. When you die, obviously you're in a realm without time with God.
That I believe in, yeah. I mean, if you're talking about, like, physical time travel, like a time machine, Hollywood style, I don't believe in that. But I do – I mean, it's fun to kind of try to imagine, like, what the world looks like to, like, you know, a being that's outside of time, like an angel or a demon or God, right? Like – How would you interpret the world if past and future were one and the same and, you know, events that caused other events happen after the event that they caused? Like, I think that's a fun way to imagine, you know,
a cascade
how angels see the world.
A cascade of events all in an instant, you know, is how it feels.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, technology made mirrors the spiritual and natural world. So I believe there's both in varying degrees, varying countries. I think the U.S. has it, Russia, other countries. There was a case in Heathrow Airport where, like, Russian time travelers were caught on security footage, two different guys at the same time in the same place. So I was thinking on a Christian aspect and with Jesus, I always think about Jesus all the time, that, like, shouldn't the primary objective, since if this time travel technology exists, what do you think about the idea of going back in time, saving Jesus, and resetting the timeline? Imagine a world if Jesus survived, or bringing Jesus back to the, well, not back, to bringing Jesus to the future, to current time, and having Jesus alive today. What do you think?
Well, I think without, you know, I don't think Jesus would come with you. I think Jesus needed to die. I think that was the point of him coming here. And, you know, his friends didn't want him to turn himself in either. They tried to save him and get him away and save his life, and he chose to die. So he chose to turn himself in, rather. So, yeah, no, I don't think Jesus would be I don't think anybody would know his name outside the immediate area of Galilee if he had not died and risen from the dead. I think he, I think you're messing with the timeline a little bit too much there. I think you need to.
I was also thinking, is it possible that's how Jesus was killed? Using technology like this to set up and make a complex series of events to be become a God killer.
Yeah, I don't know. I think to me that there's too many issues with time travel. I think the obvious one would be that we are moving through space, and you know how you don't end up a couple light years away from your intended target. I don't know. It's I think it's a little bit beyond the pale, but it's an interesting concept, and I do think that I mean, to a certain extent, time travel is possible because you can have quantum experiments where reactions occur faster than the speed of light, meaning they're happening instantaneously, meaning there's some sort of cheating going on there, right? There's information being shared faster than we know the physical limit of speed is. So in a way, that's a form of time traveling, but it's interesting stuff. And I mean, do you think that's what he meant when he said, you know, we have tools to control time and space? I think that was just a fancy way of kind of bragging about just modern high level technology. I don't necessarily think this was a slip up where he was revealing secret technology. I think, you know, he was just saying that our technology is so great, it's like we can travel time and space. We can travel space. I do it every day. Right? I'm doing it right now. Do you think he was really like, do you think that was a peek behind the curtain?
100%. I think he's talking literally, that there's literally time travel tech like Nikola Tesla and the ancient Egyptians talked about and wizards would talk about, that's in lore, that's always been around, that occurs in astral projection, that occurs in the afterlife, you know. And I don't, not only do I think they have technology to manipulate time with information and faxing people, but also I think they can mess with reality, like with CERN, which is a totally different type of military technology. Think about it. And to prove it to you, Harrison, because I always look for the proof before you believe in something. If you look at the world today, how like deep down the rabbit hole and how crazy it is, and all these weird things and weird coincidences happen, and all these stories and narratives that are spun that we just fall into and get obsessed with, it kind of seems like somebody has that playbook, that game genie cheat code, and the multiple people competing against each other.
Hmm. Yeah, I think things tend to just, I don't really know how to put it, but you know, reality just works in certain ways, and you can consider it a phenomenon. But I don't really know. I don't even really know how to express what I'm trying
That's
to say here. I'll think about it during the commercial break. But if we do have time travel, then what the hell are they doing? Where are they? And why are they not fixing things? How far do we have to go back? I don't think it's very far, but it's like if it turns out somebody comes out and says, actually, I've had time travel this whole time, then I guess it's their fault that we are where we are at this point. We're going to go out to your phone calls more and show you more videos on the other side. Thank you so much for the call. King of Wonderland. King of Wonderland, K-O-W. We'll be back on the other side with more videos, more phone calls, more major stories. And again, I want to remind you, go to thealexjonesstore.com. Take advantage for what may be your last chance to get InfoWars-branded official merchandise, T-shirts, hats, coins, and other things. Every purchase you make in that category, you get a free towel and flag and workout towel, both of which are branded with the classic InfoWars logo and Americana aesthetic. The Final Stand InfoWars sale on now at thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. We'll be right back.
We wrote the book together on the modern information war and how to take down the tyrannical globalist. We're seeing the biggest victories in our history. And just like I was funding our operation 25, 26, 27 years ago, selling Patriot t-shirts to get the word out so we could identify each other and realize our strengths, we have come from when I would see maybe one Patriot t-shirt at an airport once a year, though I flew dozens of times a year, to every time I go to the airport, they are the most popular genre you see, not sports anymore. because liberty and freedom is so incredibly popular. It is an adventure to wear the 1776 Americana shirts, the Trump shirts, the InfoWars shirts, the comedy shirts, the largest selection anywhere at thealexjonesstore.com. I mean, it is insane. New ones every day, all made in Arkansas and shipped out to you around the country from our sponsor, Bigley, that owns thealexjonesstore.com. It's an adventure to wear them. Join or die. Modern gas and flag design in olive green or in black. It just goes on and on. This is the uniform of the patriots. The left wants to burn up Tesla trucks and sue us into oblivion and try to kill Trump because they want to intimidate everybody. We outnumber them massively. Wear the shirts. Start the adventure. Fund the operation. This is the uniform of the Second American Revolution worldwide. Look at this bad boy. 47 and 45 together. A design I came up with. You know what our marketing plan is? Designs I like, that Bigley comes up with, the crew comes up with, that listeners send us, that I come up with. And the funny thing is, anything I like or I design magically is a bestseller because you're just like me. That's what it's all about. We're simpatico. Get this bad boy right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Let's look at this bad boy. The Second Amendment protects the first. I designed this. Class of 1776, another badass shirt. Look at this baby. Yeah, it's an XXL, back when I was fat, before I lost 63 pounds in the last 8 months. Oh, don't worry, we got it your size. This was a fan design site. I was like, I don't know. I want to put thinking about me for president as a joke. People love it. This is a bestseller. Alex Jones for President 2028, thealexjonesstore.com. Now, this is a redesign of a shirt I put out more than 20 years ago, and I'm very proud of this because this design and similar ones that we created is now the most popular Patriot design. I see the Ring of Stars, the Gadsden Snake at the airport, the gym, everywhere. Everybody's putting this out. This is just a fan favorite, grassroots everywhere. And so we've remade it and relaunched it, again available at thealexjonesstore.com. I knew the minute I came up with this idea that it was going to be a bestseller. And this is one of the top three sellers out of hundreds and hundreds of shirts. That big electoral victory map from the 2024 election with Trump, evil lost. It says it all, ladies and gentlemen. Get yours now. You know where, thealexjonesstore.com. Now, if this seems like a lot of cool designs to you, believe me, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds on the site. It's crazy. Ball caps, you name it. And I said there's like four different genres. Classic, Patriot, Trump, InfoWars, Alex Jones, comedy. There's also what the guys at Bigley come up with. I call the triggering line. There's more than 50 of them. Look at this. U.S. Border Patrol, send them back. There's a lot of really wild stuff. But you wear this in San Francisco, you're probably going to get killed. Wear it somewhere else, you're going to probably get your dinner bought for you. All these and more are available right now. It's how we stay on the air. It's an information war. It's about who wants it most. We've won major battles, but not the war. Thanks for keeping us on air. Find collectible badass knives, the best supplements, and more. The biggest selection of Patriot apparel at TheAlexJonesStore.com, and I thank you for keeping us in the fight because we're fighting for you. I'm fighting for myself. We're in this fight together, and we can't do it without you. So thank you so much for your past support.
Watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, folks. I have so many videos to show you, but I got a lot of calls to go to as well, so let's just do this quickly, shall we? From Postmillennial, White House will arrest any judge or official violating U.S. law by impeding ICE operations. Quote, but when you cross that line to impediment or knowingly harboring, concealing an illegal alien from ICE, you will be prosecuted, judge or not. And we have a statement from the, I believe, the chief judge in the same region where the judge was arrested, confirming that, yeah, she broke the law and had no right to interfere with ICE operations that were going down. So Milwaukee County chief judge confirms ICE was acting within the law when the associate judge lost her mind and assisted an illegal alien to evade arrest. Let's go now to clip number 31.
So the reality is for my colleagues, we don't have control in the public hallways.
An administrative warrant is a warrant that can be effectuated in a public hallway. A judicial warrant has more authority in going to private areas. But we're trying to work out a process where there can be respect for the courtroom and what we're doing, but allow the immigration and customs enforcement to do what they need to do as well. We just want to stay in our lane. We want to be transparent with the community about what we can do and what we can't.
And what you can't do is stop the lawful arrest of a criminal. And I was thinking about this and how crazy this is and why this case in particular I think is so extraordinary. And it's because if you think about it, this judge did something for an illegal alien that she would not do for her own brother. Right? You can, I bet if you ask this judge, okay, you know, you're a traffic court judge, say you're a lowly judge, but your brother comes into the court. He's got a traffic ticket that he's trying to do. And it's just a process thing. You know, he's got to either pay the fine or whatever. No big deal. But you know that there are, you know, U.S. Marshals waiting just outside to arrest him for some crime he's accused of. Do you think the judge would have treated her brother like the illegal alien? Do you think she would have, okay, we're going to finish up the proceedings here, but instead of going out, you're going to come out the back way and I'm going to legally help you to evade the U.S. Marshals that are here to arrest you for the crime you committed? You know, most judges, I think if you ask that, they would hold it as a point of pride of like, nope, in that case, I would be a functionary of the state. Like if they couldn't recuse themselves for some reason, they would go, no, I am here as a physician. I would never let my personal bias, my personal family, like, no, you know, this judge, I guarantee if you ask her, like, if your brother came in or your sister, your mom or dad or daughter came in and was, you know, in your courtroom, would you help her evade capture? Would you, you know, act in such a outrageously biased and nepotistic way, like to risk your own career for this? And the answer would be no. So why does she do it for a stranger, a foreigner who's here illegally? What? And it just made me think about just the power of like ideology and how you have these judges who would never in a million years, even if it was their own flesh and blood, they would never violate the law like this. They would never help them to escape the cops and hide them and take this risk to help them evade capture. It would never even occur to them, even if it's, you know, their own flesh and blood and, you know, person be going to jail forever. But somehow, because of the leftist brainwashing, they're doing this stuff for total strangers who they owe nothing, who they have no loyalty to, who have no loyalty to them. And yet they're taking these extraordinary measures because that's all that happened. You had federal agents waiting for one court procedure to end so they could act on their arrest warrant. And the judge is helping the suspect to escape through the back alley to avoid arrest by the federal agent. She would never do that for even her husband or her son. Like that would never occur to her. But somehow she thinks this is a righteous thing to do for a total stranger, you know, wife beater, illegal alien, El Salvadorian. It's crazy. It's just crazy and just really sort of, I don't know, put into context just how crazy this is to me personally, how the ideology drives people to do stuff that they would never do even for their own brothers. Let's go now to clip number 29. Here is billionaire Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, who, by the way, his family and he control dozens of NGOs, receiving billions of dollars from the federal government. Here's him openly calling for sedition, insurrection, and revolution from his position as governor of a U.S. state. Let's watch.
Times upon which history turns. Never before in my life have I called for mass protests, for mobilization, for disruption. But I am now. These Republicans cannot know a moment of peace. They have to understand that we will fight their cruelty with every megaphone and microphone that we have. We must castigate them on the soapbox and then punish them at the ballot box. They must feel in their bones that when we survive this shameful episode of American history with our democracy intact, because we have no alternative but to do just that, that we will relegate their portraits to the museum halls reserved for tyrants and traitors.
So I think you should be arrested. Honestly, I think you should be arrested. I don't think you can, I don't think we can have this. I think we can all get behind this, by the way. Do the leftists know he's a billionaire? I mean, there you have a bunch of leftists who are like, we should shoot billionaires in the head. And then it's a billionaire like, actually, I think we should overthrow the country. And they're like, you're a good one. Let's cheer. Just, he should probably be in jail. I mean, I think prescriptions are in order. It's Pritzker family. Seem like they've taken a lot of American taxpayer dollars and are now openly calling for, I think he sort of crossed the line there. I mean, he's very careful being like, we will kill them at the ballot box. We will disrupt them. They'll never know a minute of peace from our speech. But I don't think you can really get away with that. I don't think we have to, you know, allow that to happen. I think you can arrest him, charge him with encouraging sedition and confiscate his billions of dollars of wealth, confiscate all of his NGOs and keep them. I think that'd be a good move. And I think, you can phrase it as redistributing wealth from billionaires, and the left should be all on board that. I think they should be on board that. And there you heard, like, you know, this massive crowd cheering what he's saying because they get it. They're not talking about the ballot box, and nobody thinks they are. Okay. So stop. But what we're dealing with here are crowds of people who, for lack of a better phrase, don't return the shopping cart. Therefore have to be forced to do the right thing. It sucks, but that's who we're surrounded by. Here's another great example of that. Clip number 26. This is a guy just trying to explain to liberals that, like, they spent tens of billions of dollars and did nothing with it. He's talking about the road to no, or the train to nowhere in California. They spent billions upon billions of dollars to build a train and then didn't build the train. And by explaining this, he's being booed down by the liberals who are furious at him for just explaining reality to them, I guess. Let's watch.
It's been 17 years and $16 billion, and no rail has been built. So if you want to go protest somewhere, if you want to shout at someone, go to the governor's mansion. Go talk to Democrats in the legislature who have brought us this crappy project. Right, so we've seen over the course of the last
month
what DOGE has exposed with regard to fraud, waste,
and abuse. What are they booing?
And we're done with it. And you know what? You're going to have people who love fraud, who love waste, who love trains to nowhere. But all of us up here, we do not love fraud, waste, and abuse. We are going to use the taxpayer money efficiently and effectively, and this is a boondoggle. There is...
What are they mad at?
It was supposed to be done in 2020. But it's not done.
I have no explanation for this. I have no explanation. He's like, they spent $16 billion over 17 years, and they built nothing. And so I'm just like, boo! Boo! He's like, what are you booing? He's like, if you want to blame somebody, blame the people who wasted all of your money and gave you nothing in return. And then the people get mad at him for saying that. I mean, what do we do? What do we do with these people? California high-speed rail, $15.7 billion already invested in failed projects as Republicans criticize Newsom. And these people are defending Newsom. What do you do with these people? These people get to vote? They're mad at the guy telling them that they've had $16 billion stolen from them. I don't even, like, imagine you, like, check your bank balance and you've somehow lost $16,000. You're like, this is not right. And you go to the bank and the bank teller's like, your son spent $16,000 on Fortnite skins. and you're like, F you, and you smack the bank teller in the face. Like, what is happening? What is that? It's not his fault. He's the one telling you where your money was stolen and who stole it. Those are the people you should be mad at. So I don't know. I don't know. By the way, the only crew member with a kid in middle school is the only one to laugh at the Fortnite, the Fortnite skin reference.
It's freaking funny because it's too close to home.
I know. Oh, I know. Oh, I've got family friends who, we don't need to get into it, but why get, anyway, I mean, these are the people, it's like, they're cheering these ultra connected billionaires who themselves have robbed probably billions of dollars from the American taxpayer, funneled into NGOs, doing projects that achieve nothing. And they're just like cheering this guy like he's, you know, a hero for basically encouraging sedition throughout the United States. And then the guy that tells him, hey, all of your tax money was stolen by frauds who gave you nothing in return. And they're booing him and chanting him down. So, democracy, right? Our democracy at work. Let's go out to your calls. Let's go to James in Indiana. James in Indiana, you want to talk about Cheryl Atkinson, CBS correspondent. Go ahead. You're on the air, James.
Yeah, my background's criminal justice. If you want to know how corrupt the system is, look up prosecutor frames innocent man. Cheryl Atkinson's been back in the news over the government illegally spying, planting evidence on electronic devices. From the federal perjury scandal to have people lie under oath, the government forging signatures with AutoPen, and the government falsifying electronic communications, all court cases are rigged. Congress reports thousands of pages of weaponization of government and civil rights violations. When Trump reclassifies federal workers so they can be removed, many need fired over illegally targeting political persecution, coercion, planting evidence, civil rights, and privacy violations.
Yeah. No, 100%. And it doesn't end in the attacks against the media are increasing really across the globe. Vendettas from the Cato Institute. Vendetta, how the Obama administration harassed Cheryl Atkinson for her reporting on Operation Fast and Furious. And it just goes in line with everything that we talk about. These people are not good faith. They are not trying their best. They are not, putting forward policy and then living with the consequences. They impose things that are meant to harm you, and then they harm you, and then they desperately cover up the reporting of that harm because they want the program to continue even though it's harming you. I mean, this isn't complicated. This is not hard. None of this is hard. It's all very simple. Extremely, massively, deeply simple. Thank you for the call. And just on that note, I'm going to go to a couple videos from the UK here. We'll start with a short one here. Clip number 18. I've got some answers to these questions that these people apparently have. Let's watch.
In the whole of England and Wales, it's 150 stabbings a day now, and it's risen 90% on a 10-year period. That's the whole of the UK. 150 a day, 46, 47 of which would probably be in London, and we are going backwards. Why, and what is the solution? And will you just accept we need stop and search?
Okay, you asked two questions there, and I think I have pretty good answers to why you imported millions of immigrants. Solution, get them out. Problem solved. I did it. I've done it. 150 stabbings a day on average in the UK, about 50 in London alone, a 90% increase over 10 years. It's because of the migrants. The solution is getting rid of the migrants. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. This is crazy. But okay, fine. Fine. Yeah. The Pier and Beam Foundation has been, destroyed by 90%. What could it be? Maybe it's the termites that you keep bringing in and dumping on the floor. I don't know. Could be. Like, are we all really pretending not to know? Stop and search. Stop and frisk. That's the solution. My God. I mean, come on. Come on, folks. We don't have to pretend not to know the answer to obvious questions. Let's go now to clip number 28, because here's the problem. You do have to pretend. In the UK, you have to pretend. You have to pretend not to know that it's the Asian migrants that are raping your daughters and stabbing your sons and flooding your NHS and destroying your country and arriving daily by the boat. What are we doing here? Why are we pretending? Because it's illegal not to. because they will put you in jail for actually acknowledging the obvious cause of the problems you're experiencing. It's crazy, but that's just how it is, okay? It's completely insane, but let's go to clip number 28. Here's a British member of the press asking the White House if they might be open to asylum seekers from Britain who are, you know, being charged by their government with terrorism for their personal chats. Let's watch.
Is in Britain, we have had over a quarter of a million people issued non-crime hate incidents. As we speak, there are people in prison for quite literally reposting memes. We have extensive prison sentences and for tweets, social media posts, and general free speech issues. Would the Trump administration consider political asylum for British citizens in such a situation?
Well, to your latter question, it's a very good one. I have not heard that proposed to the president, nor have I spoken to him about that idea. But I certainly can and talk to our national security team and see if it's something the administration would entertain.
Yes, please.
We should be treating British dissidents like we treated Alexei Navalny in Russia. America should be putting its support and monetarily benefiting these dissident freedom fighters who are trying to affect change in their tyrannical system. We do it in Russia. We do it in the Middle East. We do it everywhere except in places where the people are literally crying out for this. I swear, I make the joke on Twitter all the time that we should go to war with Britain, and my entire comment feed is filled up with Brits being like, please, for the love of God, come save us. We should be airdropping weaponry to the protest in Ireland. We should be clandestinely arming the white native British to free themselves from their oppressive regime. I genuinely believe that. At the very least, we could be offering asylum to their activists who are being hunted down by their own government. So definitely deserve asylum a hell of a lot more than the gang member from Venezuela who's just here to steal stuff. And it's not a joke. Here's a video, an interview of a woman named Elizabeth who was detained by anti-terrorism police who wanted to question her about memes from her childhood. Clip number 20.
He called me up in the room and he said, if you don't give us your phone, we'll delay your flight. You can't get onto the plane. And they started asking me very strange questions. What's your thoughts on Brexit? Why are you asking me about Brexit of all things? It's like they were interrogating me. What they wanted me to say was, oh yeah, I support Brexit because I hate immigrants. But I just said, I support liberty, blah, blah, blah. I remember I said to them at the time, have you ever read 1984? And they said, I've never heard of 1984. And I said, well, that explains a lot. But they said, what's your thoughts on freedom of speech? I believe in freedom of speech. And he said, do you think people should be arrested for freedom of speech? And I said, no, I think it's a very awful thing. People are arrested for saying their political views. And he literally looked at me like I denied the Holocaust. And he pulls out his iPad. And there's a picture of me in a Fallout cosplay with a plasma rifle. It glows green. It's clearly not real. It's made of plastic. He said, what's this then? I remember laughing at him at the time. I said, it's Fallout cosplay. Why do you think this is terrorist activity?
Just imagine. You got the UK government with Pakistani rape gangs raping a million British girls, and they're arresting British girls for Fallout video game cosplay costume dress up. That's just okay. You are being detained under Schedule 7 of the Terrorist Act 2000 for attending MCM Expo and associating with Fallout cosplayers. How do you explain these pictures, Elizabeth Eno? Yeah. That's Britain. No, she deserves asylum from us. Let's go to Willie in San Diego. Willie, thanks for calling in. You're on the air, sir.
Hey, Harrison. Yeah. Hey. So Canada got rid of the puppet and installed the puppet master. When tariffs were implemented by our president due to trade imbalances, along with his incessant taunting of Canada becoming a 51st state, I'm just not sure what he was really trying to accomplish. So the Canadians have learned to hate Donald Trump, and he's dead wrong about many things. But he obviously speaks more for taxpaying American citizens than do the alternatives. So they install a master OG globalist who's a founding member of the World Economic Forum, Bilderberg Group, Bank of England, Canada, promising digital ID and currency monitoring. They're subverting Canadians' God-given rights, and it wasn't enough to allow them to confiscate free speech and major gun rights. They're cheering on mass surveillance all in the name of climate change or something. Well, down here, our climate is changing too, but we're awakening to who's changing it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the only explanation I can give is that they, you know, Canada actually allowed all the illegal immigrants to vote, which makes it a very simple system. You just import people who will vote for you, and then there you go, done deal. But I don't understand how people in Canada could have lived through the last 10 years and think that proceeding down this road will bring success. I mean, I don't understand it. I've seen the pictures where it's like parts of Edmonton that just look like Delhi. Like they just look like an Indian city now, and there's no Canadian people in the entire mall. Like you can watch videos where they walk through a Canadian mall and you never see a white person. And it's just like, how can you live through that and be like, this is great, this is fine? I don't understand it. I don't get it. But hey, they've committed made. They have accepted the assistance in death from the New World Order, which goes in line with their philosophy. Thank you for the call, Willie. We have time for just one more call. We'll go to Jay in FEMA Region 10 has a word of warning for us. Jay, thanks so much for calling and holding. You're on the air. We got a little over a minute left in the show.
Awesome. Howdy. Thanks, Harrison. Listen, I've been a listener since COVID. I'm a VIP member, and I love the old audios. First words of encouragement. You're brave. You're bold. You're bright. So you provide insightful commentary. And I prefer you because you use less profanity and you're more family friendly like that. You also have some of the best interviewees and with a minimum of interruption. And there's also some words of hope, serious signals that major justice is around the corner, big arrests. But more and more people are also waking up. They know about chemtrails, the vaccinations, the Federal Reserve, corrupt politicians. And they could take the name, they could take the websites, you know, InfoWars, they could take the band.video, et cetera, but they've already lost the InfoWar.
You're exactly
lost.
Right. Alex Jones lives on. The InfoWar lives on. InfoWars will never die. I love it. Thank you so much, Jay. Thank you for your support at thealexjonesstore.com. Really quickly, let's go to clip number 25 because Jay brought it up. I got to say, this is how it feels to host a show at InfoWars. Let's watch. There's Clown World trying to intimidate humanity. There's the Clown World New World Order trying to freak out humanity, trying to scare us into submission. We're willing to leave it alone, but as soon as they square up, it's on! You think you're going to scare us? We're going to strike fear into the heart of Clown World. Stay with us, folks. 90 seconds, Alex Jones.
We have the bad guys, and it's all part of the same constellation. This whole system, they don't want World War III to stop. They don't want all these agendas to stop, turning us into commodities, turning us into guinea pigs. They want our bodies. They want our children. They stole Elon Musk's son. You have to understand, it's all part of the same project. It's all part of training the general public to accept this evil. Well, we're not accepting it. We're standing up. They fear our children. They fear the future. That's why they're targeting. This broadcast is standing up for all of our collective futures. And when you support us, when you share the reports, you are changing the world. You have all the power. So share the live feed right now. Real Alex Jones on X. CIA, mind control, sex slave, survivor. Kathy O'Brien is on air exposing the Jeffrey Epstein operation and beyond. We need to put that out on X right now. People need to understand. You need to share this live feed. You need to take this interview once we archive it today. To understand, as early as next week, Band.video is gone. InfoWars is gone. It's all shut down. They're in the news. Receiver, boom. As soon as the 20 days after the Supreme Court of Connecticut said that they wouldn't hear the thing, they said, we're coming. And that the receiver's down in Houston bragging he's coming as soon as he can. We got legal issues, things going on. We got a backup network I don't own, so they can't get that. But when you go to thealexjonesstore.com, I don't own that. That's our sponsor. That will keep us on the air. We got to launch the new news site. All this stuff's going on. I've been so busy fighting the globalists and things. You know, the folks have got that almost built. A lot of things are going on. But our work is so important, and the bad guys want us off the air. So go to theyellowstonestore.com right now. Get the very best methylene blue. So good for your mind. So good for your mitochondria. The very best Irish sea moss. The very best Shilajit. The very best turmeric. All of this is great stuff for your mind. So empowering for your body. Theyellowstonestore.com. And be sure and become a VIP member. You get $40 to spend each month in there for $30. A bunch of extra specials and things. If you ever want a product to sell out, you just become a subscriber. Get huge discounts at theyellowstonestore.com. Stay with us.